It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because he got tangled up with all these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal internet. That is you and me. You and me is that right? Truth. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of truths.
M1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. An already tense Beirut has been ratcheted up another notch with the murder, the assassination, of cabinet member and Christian leader Pierre Jamail today by men with automatic rifles with silencers.
President Bush worries that the latest killing will trigger even more trouble in volatile Lebanon.
For the sake of peace, the free world must reject those who undermine young democracies and murder in the name of their hateful ideology.
Speaking to military personnel here in Hawaii, Mr. Bush accused Syria and Iran of trying to undermine the Lebanese government. He's calling for a full investigation into the latest political killing in Lebanon. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Honolulu.
The government says more young women are having babies without benefit of matrimony these days. It's teenagers who are being more careful.
I'm Dan Revive, live in Washington. The Centers for Disease Control reports the birth rate among teenage girls was down by 2% last year. Here's the statistic. Per 1,000 teenage females, the number of babies born to them was 40. The official rate has never been lower, down 35% in less than 15 years. Medical authorities believe the average teen is being more prudent.
Also from the CDC, the number of C-sections reported is up. Fully 30% of all births in America came last year with the help of a surgeon's scalpel. Birth and death. Director Robert Altman has died. Movie critic Leonard Maltin.
He was drawn to unusual, offbeat subjects and saw the world in a slightly different way than anybody else.
He's from Entertainment Tonight, of course. Altman was 81. Of course, Friday, commonly called Black Friday, is one of the keys to the holiday shopping season. Merchants hoping it'll put them in the black.
A lot of stores are now saying they're going to open at the stroke of midnight in order to get people in there earlier. And they're hoping that that's going to make the difference between a lackluster holiday season and a great holiday season.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says some stores even plan to be open all Thanksgiving Day. Wall Street, the Dow gained 5 points today. The Nasdaq picked up about 2 points. Thanksgiving is just 2 days away. Lots of people are traveling already.
The weather is the thing that we worry about the most in aviation because it can really put gridlock in the system. The next several days around the country look as though we may get a break for this Thanksgiving.
Marion Blakey is head of the FAA. She says 25 million people are flying this week for the holiday. Of course, you could just hop a freight, as Maurice Graham did. He was the king of the hobos, began riding the rails when he was 14. That was back in 1931, the Depression. Steam Train Maury, as they called him, helped start Hobo Foundation and the museum. For him, coffee from old grounds cooked up in tin cans, pork and beans and bread made on a stick over a campfire were part of life. Graham was 89. This is CBS News.
Hey folks, John Madden here to tell you about the Ace One Day Sale happening this Friday only, November 24th, at your neighborhood Ace stores. You'll find great gift ideas like a portable DVD player for just $69.99 or an RCA MP3 player for $99.99. Plus, a 30-foot straight-line laser level is just $4.99 after mail-in rebate. Doors open at 7 a.m., so shop early at the Ace One Day Sale going on this Friday. Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for. Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
So how's your aching back? Thinking about surgery? If so, listen up.
For back and leg pain, the most common operation in America is disc removal. But a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association finds that after 2 years, sciatica patients had about the same pain reduction with surgery or without. Stanford Medical Center expert Eugene Carrigy says if you can't handle your pain or need quick relief, surgery might be the answer. Otherwise, don't worry.
Non-operative care is not associated with a serious risk of a catastrophic neurologic loss.
Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
Things have been looking up in one small town in Brazil. The mayor has been handing out free samples of Viagra. Says ever since, the elderly population's changed. They're a lot happier, says the mayor of Novo Santo Antonio in central Brazil. The only downside, some of the old guys have been fooling around some, making their wives less than happy with the mayor's Pinto Alegre program. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
And now, it's Enid Live with Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock, welcome to the pre-holiday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. I'm going to be off tomorrow for the holiday and Thursday and Friday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I will be back with you on Monday right here, same time, same place. You'll be in great hands with Air America programming. So this means that all the business that we have to finish up with each other, we only have today to do it. We have the next 4 hours to conduct our business together, whatever that may consist of, and it varies from moment to moment. We are filled with micro landscapes here. We are filled with the flea market of ideas. We are filled with lots of thoughts about various things, and we invite you to join our ruminations and join the conversation. And if you've never called a talk radio show before, think about doing it. Consider it. Many people I meet when I go out to events and when I speak and just in general say they listen, but almost nobody has admitted that they call. And a lot of when I do meet people, they always say, well, my name is Gina, but when I call, I'm Nancy. So not everybody uses their real names, and that's okay. We don't care about that. What we care about are your ideas and your thoughts and your contribution to the conversation. That we care about a lot. Because this is a place where we can have that kind of conversation. You might not be able to talk about certain things with your friends, and particularly if your friends are all Republican, it might be a little hard to bring up certain issues. And especially as you're contemplating going home and seeing the family, and they may be of a very different political and social persuasion than you are, how you navigate those slippery issues. But we talk about all of that and more on Enid Live, and we do it daily, and we talk about the kinds of things that sometimes you don't even hear anyplace else. And so, if you have never called a talk radio show before, consider doing it. As I have said before, the number that everybody fishes out of the air, and no one really ever knows for sure, is that less than 1% of the listeners, fewer than 1%, or less than 1%, ever call a talk radio show. So if you haven't done it, if you haven't called our show, if you've only rarely called, think about doing it. It doesn't cost you a penny to do it. It is completely toll-free. You could register your comments for many, many people to hear, not just one friend on the phone. And the number, if you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. And you can email me, enid@kctc.com. We also stream live 1320leftchannel.com. And
remember when you email me, I do see all the emails. It's getting harder and harder to respond to them. So I just caution you about that. Doesn't mean I haven't seen it, but it's kind of, there are too many now to respond to. But I love having them. I love hearing what you're thinking about. We've been talking about politics. We always talk about politics. So let me begin with politics. We're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. We're going to be talking, because I collect obituaries, which is sort of a way of saying that I collect lives, I want to get into Robert Altman for a moment. There are lots of things that I want to get into today as we are wrapping everything up and going about our way to the holiday, not the least of which is to talk about the holiday. I've written pieces that have been published about Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday, and I'll share some of that with you. Looking at the New York Times this morning, there's a story in here, a headline on Hillary, that she won easily, and she was going to be a shoe-in for her election. But what is the gist of the story is that she spent a ton of money. She spent a huge amount of money. And they detailed what she spent money on. Almost $162,000 on chartered flights. Almost $51,000 and change on photography. $13,000 on flowers. $80,000 on audiovisual equipment. Some of this, they're saying, was to... Is $30 million too much to spend on a cakewalk campaign? Some people are asking. A lot of people who have given her money are appalled at what it was being spent on. Other people are saying, look, she's spending this much money because she is building up lists and donors and so forth. Should she make a presidential run? So all of that is fodder for it. But in addition, as a sort of a sidebar to the Hillary story and how much she spent, the New York Times reports the following. Candidates routinely use campaign money for all types of expenses. One representative in Florida spent $24,000 of her campaign money this year on flowers. Her campaign said she sent them to the families of constituents who died. Representative Richard Pombo, soon to be former Representative Richard Pombo, Republican from California, stunningly unseated by Jerry McNerney, spent $17,250 on, are you ready for this? On balloons for a single event in July. Richard Pombo spent $17,250 on balloons for one single event in July. You know what? I think you can buy all the balloons in the universe and still not wind up spending $17,000 for them. Does that amount ring true to you? Anybody who's in the special events business or if you're in the balloon business? I think he spent them on condoms, frankly. Here it is. As a sidebar to another story, you find out what's going on in your own backyard. And I don't know if McNerney ever had that information. He should have used it if he did. But Pombo spent $17,250 on balloons for one single event in July. Wow, they must have seen him coming. I can't believe it. For that reason alone, he should be expelled from Congress. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Daniel Weintraub writing in today's B, talking about the NBA and talking about the arena, and here's what he says. Maybe, he says, it's time for the NBA to consider an economic makeover. As votes this month in Sacramento and Seattle demonstrated, the number of cities with residents willing to hand over tax dollars to subsidize millionaires playing ball is dwindling. Millionaires playing ball and billionaires who own the teams is dwindling. And with franchises from Milwaukee to Portland struggling to turn a profit, the league ought to take a closer look at its expenses, its revenues, and the balance between the two. He says it seems evident that holding up the taxpayers for more money is less and less a viable option. So let me give you that sentence again. He says, as voters this month demonstrated in Seattle and Sacramento, the number of cities with residents willing to hand over tax dollars to subsidize millionaires playing ball and clubs owned by zillionaires, and with franchises from Milwaukee to Portland struggling to turn a profit, the league ought to take a closer look at its expenses, its revenues, and the balance between the two. Why should we pick up the check for these rich people? Are you richer than these guys? They're so rich, these millionaire ball players and their zillionaire owners and the zillionaire NBA? Forget it. Let them pick up their own check. And if they can turn a profit, great. And if they can't, too bad. Then they need to rethink their product. They need to rethink the costs involved in their product. And I don't think we should be picking up the check for that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Reported in the B today that the governor has gained among Latinos, that he's really going to ring in his His inaugural is going to be not a low-key event, and he's going to ring it in style. And we talked about that yesterday. $50,000. If you buy a $50,000 corporate sponsorship kind of a ticket, it gives you 10 tickets worth apparently $5,000 a piece and certain access and so forth. You know, it's pay to play. That's what it is. I don't care what you want to call it. I don't care how many nonprofits you want to set up. And the fact that he's going to be giving Schwartzy, Mr. My Head Has Been Dipped in Tang, and oh, by the way, I'm waiting for that inaugural invitation to get to me. You know, it could be getting lost in the mail. I don't know yet. Probably hasn't been sent out yet. Maybe they don't have the right address. It's 5345 Madison Avenue right here in Sacramento. Sunny Sacramento. Beautiful Sacramento. Untrash-laden Sacramento. Well, anyway, so pay to play for Arnold, who's giving speeches around the country on bipartisanship. He's giving them in Iowa, and he's giving them in New Hampshire. Well, aren't those interesting places to give speeches on bipartisanship? Well, what do you think his ambitions are? And Joe Desmond, an energy advisor to Schwartzy, this is the LA Times reporting, this has taken a new job with a Houston-based company seeking to operate a liquefied natural gas terminal about 12 miles off Ventura County coastline. And by the way, putting this there is a huge bone of contention to the area residents. There have been a lot of protests and so forth. Desmond is going to be Senior Vice President of External Affairs for Northern Star Natural Gas, Inc., and provide, quote, counsel and guidance as the company seeks to develop environmentally safe, sensitive importation terminals in California and Oregon, the company announced. Northern Star will have to negotiate with California officials and Desmond's old boss, Schwartzy, to finalize the rights to build the terminal. Under the Deepwater Port Act, the governor can veto the final license for offshore LNG projects. Schwartzy said in his 2003 campaign that he was generally supportive of building more LNG terminals, and Desmond told the Times last year that California needs to develop more natural gas importation from other countries. The Northern Star terminal is proposed to begin operating in 2009. Desmond is a former chair of the California Energy Commission, which recently released a report calling for more LNG supply, but liquid natural gas. But Desmond's job there ended when the state Senate refused to confirm him. Lawmakers thought he was too sympathetic to building coal-fired power plants and favored deregulation of the energy industry. Schwartzy then appointed him as Undersecretary of Energy Affairs in the Resources Agency. I mean, this is amazing. So here this guy is going to where his heart really lies. Energy, and he'll probably be a liaison to all the people he worked with Schwartzy. And it's like another example, I think, of pay-to-play. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Are we surprised? I don't think we're very surprised. Last night, and I didn't see it, but maybe you did, Kramer from the Seinfeld show apologized on Letterman's show. Well, it was great for Letterman's ratings, because he handily beat out by about a share point, almost a full share point, Jay Leno's show, The Tonight Show, and I don't think that happens enough to make the Letterman people happy. So having both Seinfeld and Kramer, I believe they were both on, bumped up Letterman's overnights, his ratings. He apologized. Michael Richards, who is the actor who plays Kramer, apologized on Letterman's show for his tirade, a Friday night tirade, during a stand-up at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. He was using a lot of profanities laced with racial slurs, and directed at blacks. He was being heckled by somebody who was African-American, and then he let loose, including the N-word and multiple usages of the N-word. He says that he can't believe he did this. He says that he sort of went insane. He says, I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this. And yet, it comes through, it fires out of me even now, and the passion that's here as I confront myself. He said he made a horrible mistake. He said, for me to be in a comedy club and flip out and say this crap, I'm deeply, deeply sorry. I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this. You know, it's sort of like he's edgy and everything. Do you believe any of that? I think that if you're not a racist, this wouldn't come out. I think that if you've got some, why would these words even come out of you? If you weren't thinking them somewhere along the line, if you weren't feeling them somewhere along the line, and so someone says, oh, well, I'm really not a racist, even though I exhibited every single tendency of racist behavior here when I was under fire. Remember that phrase, grace under pressure? But I'm really not a racist, and, you know, here's Seinfeld, and we'll yuck it up a little bit, and I hope you'll forgive me, because if you don't, my career is in the toilet. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. If you are African-American or if you're not, do you believe that Kramer is a racist? Well, the use of this language, why would he use it? I mean, I think he's just trying to wallpaper over something that's really pretty ugly in him. And it came out when somebody heckled him. And he didn't like being heckled. You know, he says, I'm a performer. He says, I push the envelope. I work in a very uncontrolled manner on stage. I do a lot of free association. It's spontaneous. I go into character. The rage did go all over the place. It went to everybody in the room. I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this. And yet it's said, it comes through. It fires out of me even now in the passion that's here as I confront myself. Well, what does that mean exactly? Means that he was racist when he was saying all these things, and he's appalled at seeing that in himself, and now he wants to paper it over with apologies and I'm really not a racist. I think that's what it's about. You may have some other thoughts about that, but if you're not a racist, I don't think this stuff comes out of you. You know, you just might use expletives when someone's heckling you, but he went right for the race card. That is what he did. The moment he was under siege, that is what he did. So I find his explanation disingenuous, to be charitable about it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Yesterday we were talking about the possibility of Barack Obama as president. I kind of like him. Well, maybe that's because I don't know that much about him. And I was asking, can a guy who smokes cigarettes... Well, he said in his autobiography that he inhaled and that was the point. And he did do a little blow, he admits to. He said that was the point. But he smoked cigarettes, which is maybe even worse than both of those. And somebody called me to say that Barack Obama could not be president because he doesn't have an easy first name like Bill or George or Charles or William. And so Gary emails me and says, Enid, the jerk who called you saying a presidential candidate needs a name like George or Bill or Charles or William obviously didn't realize how racist he sounded on your really big shoe yesterday. Could he be your worst person in the world today? Well, I thought he was being funny. I didn't take it as anything racial. I just thought it was funny. And people do have a hard time with odd names. And believe me, moi, your radio goddess, can certainly speak to that. People can never, it's four little letters that spell love, Enid, Dine spelled backwards, and people, unless they're used to the name, or have a hard time pronouncing it in the beginning sometimes. I get to be Anita, and I get to be Edith, and I get to be, I don't know, Enie, that's what I get to be. Let's head over to the phone, 349-1320. Bobby and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Enid, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, you know, I saw that thing on TV yesterday with Kramer, and it makes you laugh. You have to understand how anger works, and most people don't. My girlfriend don't, my children don't. When you get angry, your brain is designed to shut down 80% of your sector, so all the blood is controlled by the main lobe that is controlling aggression. When that happens, there's only one thing coming out of you, what you really are.
So you're saying that what came out of him indicates what he really is, not what he would like to think of himself as.
Absolutely. You know, when you calm down, you can make a bunch of theories on why you said, and I can lie like a son of a bitch when I'm calm. But when you're angry, you really don't have a choice but what's in your gut come out. What's your core? What's your belief? What's your foundation?
Are you a psychologist, Bobby?
No, not at all.
But you're an observer of human nature.
I love to talk. I listen to your radio show all the time. I listen to Randy all the time. And I'm an educated guy. I read about 3 hours a day. So I need to know in this world what I'm dealing with. And, you know, people are just, they are so scared. They don't know what's going on around them.
Well, I think that when you're, I'll give him this. When you are on stage and you're performing and it's not going well and somebody's heckling you, which makes it go even worse, then you start getting angry. You're probably angry at yourself, but you get angry at the people heckling you, and I guess you hit with the first thing that you come out of your arsenal with, and what he did is he played the race card. And now he says he's not a racist, but I wonder then what the definition of being a racist is. So I think it's revealing. I think under pressure, when it comes out, I think it tells you who you're dealing with.
Well, we are racist in a certain way. I mean, I don't see a single person who can say, well, I'm not racist, because everybody is. But you have to be able to control your racial outbursts and your thought process.
All right, but so is this going to hurt his career, do you think, or is everybody going to move on because he's not that big a deal?
No, it's not that big a deal, you know. I mean, he grew up as a child in America where racism was prevalent, and he got something in him. Well, you know what? He's fighting to get rid of it. He's not that person all the time. Well, he said it. He's a racist. Well, you know what? Get at him, knock him down, say, dude, don't do that again, let's move on with life.
Bobby, thank you so much for calling, I appreciate it. 349-1320, Matthew in Lincoln, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
You know, I wanted to call because the word that you used, disingenuous, was exactly what I used today, because the analogy that that I used with a couple of friends when I was talking was, it's like when your kid gets caught with their hand in the cookie jar before dinner. He's not, you know, sad
he says,
or upset.
He says, I'm not a thief.
You know, he was caught in this act, and now, like, you know, it's national. It's on YouTube, wherever you might see it, on the internet or TV. He sees the frustration, he sees the rage that he has inside himself. So that's why he's like, oh, man, I have to apologize now. But that's exactly who he is. I mean, the car is...
Well, and the other thing is, he thought he was in a comedy club. You know, everything now can be broadcast through the universe. And whoever, I don't know if he ever would have thought that what left that room went out, other than maybe people's verbal comments, that somehow it winds up on YouTube or something equivalent, and everybody can see his rage. And if he looks at it, I'm sure he didn't come out looking very good.
Oh, absolutely not. I guarantee he's totally embarrassed. I saw on Letterman, you know, he was trying to get on there, and his face was very distraught and everything else. But the funny thing is, if you have time to watch it, on YouTube, it's on there. It's funny because people laughed at him when he gave his comments about he's sorry and was apologetic. People laughed, and Seinfeld was on there as well, and he was like, you know, this isn't funny. I thought they probably thought it was a bit or something that Seinfeld was doing. But the point is you have to always, especially when you're in the media, you always have to watch what you're doing. There's always going to be somebody recording it via phone, whatever the case might be, and this is who he is, so that's the fact.
Thank you, Matthew. I appreciate it. 349-1320, Alan and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Alan.
Hey, you know, Enid, the only thing I don't like is the double standard that, you know, we got all of this stuff going out. You know, with Chris Rock, I don't know if you've heard him. I mean, he's done some terrible, he's a white racism, like you wouldn't believe. You know, saying cracker and, you know, with the F word in front of it, and he said over and over again in his comedy act.
I have seen his act. I've seen it on HBO, and I don't know. I like Chris Rock, but I don't get the impression that, you know, I guess you could say he's being racist, but I don't get the impression that he is being racist in the same way that Kramer was. And somehow it's a different situation. Do you not feel that way?
Well, I honestly have to admit that, you know, Kramer's comments were a little over the top, but
because Kramer's comments were personal. You know, when Chris Rock does his routine, everybody knows it's a routine. Everybody knows it's a shtick. It's not directed at somebody in the audience. It's a generalized shtick. But I will give you this: he can talk about effing crackers, but you cannot turn that around. A Caucasian cannot do the same thing about an African American in that same way, if that's the point you're making.
Well, yeah, not only that, you see, with all the music and everything we have out nowadays, you hear kids will be kidding around in school, and they'll be saying, like, the word, you know, the nigga. They'll go like that. They'll talk to each other like that. And white and blacks will do this now. And it's terrible because we've just made a joke of this. It's nothing to joke about. This is a very serious thing, and people should be more respectful and just stop that whole word.
Well, I agree with you, but if you're in the category that uses it, if you're an African American, you can use it affectionately with your, you know, with people who are other people who are African American, but nobody who's not should even go near that word. And I'm always uncomfortable about it.
Well, I really wish that blacks would realize that it doesn't do society any good to use that word at all. It's just a whole
word, you know,
period.
But you can't censor people. You know, if they want to use words to describe themselves, I mean, I'm sure whites called each other cracker and worse. So, and who knows what the KKK calls each other? We don't know. But I understand the point you're trying to make, Alan, and I thank you for making it. We have one line open, 349-1320, 866-26-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Tuesday pre-holiday, sort of a fabulous Friday, really, edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa Way.
Thank you very much. Well, we do have some slowbound traffic going on northbound 99 just by
Well, it looks like Fruit Ridge Road and then back up on the Cap City Freeway going northbound. Right before Cal Expo, there's a three-car crash. Things are stopped up. We'll wait about 10, 15 minutes. Also, northbound 99 by 12th Street, we do have a vehicle on the right-hand side that might be slowing things down a little bit as well. Fulton Avenue at Alta Arden, we have a three-car crash there on the expressway going into North Sac. And a hit and run, no injuries, though. Westbound 160 at Royal Oaks Drive. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
And you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
Party, special occasion, business.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs are being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Well, I went to bed in Memphis and I woke up in Hollywood. I got a quarter in my pocket and I'd call you if I could, but I don't know.
I hope you've got a quarter in your pocket, but you don't need it. It's all toll-free here, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Ina Goldstein. You are listening to the Tuesday, the lucky Tuesday, the pre-holiday edition of Enid Live. It's kind of like a fabulous Friday today because I'm going to be off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, back with you on Monday. So everything that we need to say to each other today is the day when we're going to say it. Otherwise, we're going to have to wait till Monday, but you will be in very good hands with Air America Radio. So we're talking about Kramer. He made his apology on Letterman last night. It bumped up Letterman's ratings so that he took, on the overnights, he was almost a share ahead of Jay Leno, so one percentage point ahead of Jay Leno last night, which is good news for that show. But Kramer says he's not a racist. And yet, when you're in the crunch and all of these racial epithets come pouring out of you, please, you don't want to think of yourself as a racist. But where'd that come from if you're not? Ernest and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Ernest.
Hi, Enid. Love your show, by the way. I listen to it every day.
Thank you.
I wonder what kind of statement we're making to America when we bring in, you know, like Senator Trent Lott.
Yeah.
Just reelected back to a minority whip post. And what kind of statement are we making, you know, to the young voters and to people when we bring people like that back into power after the reason they took him out of power to begin with was because of his racial comments at Helms' birthday party?
Strom Thurmond's, right?
Yeah, thank you. Thank
okay.
you. Right. Yeah, I mean, you know.
All right, so what are your thoughts about that? What are your thoughts about Kramer making that his apology because he got caught?
Well, you know, the deal is that the gentleman that spoke before about, you know, the brain, I think he makes a really good point that when you're really angry, you don't use your frontal lobes of your brain where your intelligence is. And then when you compound that with alcohol, your impulses come out that are real. And people don't want to look at that. People don't want to.
Well, you don't even need a scientific. I don't think you need even the science, anything that sounds vaguely scientific. I think when you're in the crunch and you start spouting that stuff, I think that tells us exactly who you are. You don't want to think of yourself that way. You buried it deeply within yourself. But when he got heckled by somebody who was black, that's what came out of him.
But think about his motivation for apology. I mean, his career's on the line.
Of course his career is on the line. Not only that, he's horribly embarrassed. His career is on the line. Did he ever think? Because, you know, this is like the death penalty. Everybody says, oh, that's such a deterrent. That's if you're thinking. You know, you're doing something in a moment. It's a moment of passion, whether it's committing a crime or whether you're doing your comedy act. And he's in the crunch. The thing is bombing. The more he tries to pull it out, the more he gets heckled. And the more he gets heckled, the more angry he gets and frustrated at himself. And then it comes out in this horrible stew. And probably the last thing he's thinking, if he's thinking at all, is this is going to be all over the internet in 2 minutes. And then when it is, he realizes how horrible he looks and what implications this has for his career.
What goes around comes around.
That's right. Ernest,
if your motivation to apologize is to keep something, or you're afraid of losing something, you know.
Well, I'm sure his motivation is complicated. I'm guessing he probably doesn't think of himself as a racist, and he's appalled at what he sees staring back at him from the net, and he's got career issues to consider as well. So for a lot of reasons, he's got to do a mea culpa quick, and he couldn't have asked for a better venue than Letterman and under the aegis of Seinfeld.
If he doesn't believe he's a racist, then he's floating down that river denial, okay? Because that stuff does not come out of your mouth.
Denial.
In that way, in that forum.
Denial is the longest river in the world. Thank you, Ernest. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Joy and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Joy.
Oh, hi. As an African-American, I think that the N-word should not be used by anybody. And a lot of people that I know, most of the people I know, don't think it's okay for other African-Americans to use that term either.
Okay. I'm glad you weighed in on that. Because I'm Jewish. And so, you know, in kidding, you can call your co-religionists things. It's like it being in a family. You know, you can say something to your brother and sister, but God help anybody outside the family saying those things. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that was the spirit in which I was looking at terms that if somebody from the outside uses them have one set of meanings, but if somebody in the inside uses them, it can be a form of affection.
Well, I think.
But what you're saying is forget it. You're not using it. Period. And neither are your friends.
Just drop the word. And usually, when people use words out of anger, it's perhaps they lack the vocabulary that they need to really. Express themselves.
Do you think that it really?
Way.
Yeah, but when it comes out of anger, do you think it's revealing or is it just a burst out of anger?
It can be revealing, but I'm not concerned that we just drop it. I'm not so bothered. I'm bothered to some extent that he used it, but I just like to see a lot of the kids to drop the word.
Okay. Joy, I thank you very much. So Joy is saying, forget it. Don't use that word. Drop it. It's not a word that African-Americans like to see used, period. Michael in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, hi, Enid. Long time no see.
Welcome.
Anyway, I just wanted to weigh in on that. Joy, she's not buying it, baby. We don't buy it. It's like I said yesterday, you don't know who Lillian Mead was, do you?
Lillian Mead?
Yeah, Lillian Mead.
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Yeah, she was actually born in this country into slavery. That was my great-grandmother.
Okay.
And her story was has been passed on orally since then, okay?
Yeah.
So my point is, I have students, high school kids, that come into the room and they use this. White kids, black kids, Hispanic kids,
well,
right?
Well, haven't rappers made that term kind of hip, using an AH on the end of it?
Let me say this.
Yeah.
Because rappers use it doesn't excuse it, okay?
Okay.
What I'm saying is, I don't tolerate it. You want to get kicked out of my room, you want to get referred, you use that term, okay? And today, I use Kramer as my example. I told my class what he did.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what he actually did, he got frustrated when he was heckled. And he said, you know, you're an N, there's an N, and all you are N's, right?
Right.
But I use the word. I'm not like your producer who says, please don't say that on the air. We really need to have this talk on race once a week, once a month. We need to do it. But I talk about it with my students, okay? And one problem is teachers, we're talking about education of the masses here, essentially when we want to raise consciousness, then the schools are the best place to do that. The problem has been teachers that are intimidated by that class of students that would use that word. In other words, I've taught around, there's some schools you'll never hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In some schools, you'll hear it every day.
Yeah, but you speak...
what neighborhood you're in, okay?
Michael, but you speak with a lot of authority, and so you can have that discussion. And what did the, how did the kids respond when you brought it up?
What it was in, they were shocked that I would... The one who actually told them not to use this would actually come to use it in the classroom. They were shocked. And I said, see? One boy even said, you know, he's not black, but he's got black friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's very close. He may be Hispanic or whatever, but he says, you know what? I'm offended by that. I say, yeah, I am too. And there are lots of people who are, okay, who may not say it, but it's an offensive term. And let me say this. I think it's just like these liberals who became neocons,
mm-hmm.
right? I was here in the Reagan years, okay? I've been losing elections for a long time.
Yes, but
this
now...
This was a big win for me, okay?
Yes, that's right.
All those people came back home, okay? These are the people who need to make the commitment, okay, to understand that, like Randy said, we each have a little piece of that in us, okay? And they need to realize that. And I sure hate to use this.
Michael, we're tight for time, so tell me quick.
I'm just saying that white people need to take the onus since they created it.
All right, but when you say it to a group of students and you say this is offensive, I think you give them food for thought, and I think it will. I think this is a really good thing because I think a lot of people don't want to talk about it. That you did it in the classroom, I think did a lot to advance the subject. I thank you, Michael, for the call. 349-1320 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Yes, it's a very colorful and well-rounded traffic out there. I mean, all kinds of different people, different sizes, wild-looking cars, you know. Anyway, Manzanita Avenue and Madison Avenue, we have a hit and run eastbound I-80, just northbound 65. There's a pedestrian wandering in and out of the roadway. Northbound 99, just north of 12th Avenue. And westbound 160 at Royal Oaks, we do have a hit and run causing three-car crash. End of live. Continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule.
Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left-channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
.44 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. This is sort of our fabulous Friday because I'm off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, back with you on Monday. So, lots of things to talk about. What we're talking about is Kramer making his apology on Letterman. His real name is Michael Richards. He's an actor, but he played Kramer on Seinfeld. And so he and Seinfeld were on. He went off on an African-American heckler when he was bombing in a comedy club. It was all over the internet. And now, he doesn't see himself as a racist. He's making an apology. My question is he really a racist? Doesn't it come out in the heat of battle like that? Now, let me add to this conversation, because it gets a little bit thorny now. Looking to draw attention to what they call the worst form of bigotry confronting America today, Boston University's college Republicans are circulating an application for a, quote, Caucasian Achievement and Recognition Scholarship that requires applicants to be at least 25% Caucasian. Did we do this to give a scholarship to white kids? Of course not, the scholarship reads. Did we do it to trigger a discussion on what we believe to be the morally wrong practice of basing decisions in our schools and our jobs on racial preferences rather than merit? Absolutely. The scholarship, which is privately funded by the Boston University College Republicans without the support of the university, is meant to raise awareness, group members say. BUCR members argue that racial preferences are a form of bigotry. The group has a similar view on affirmative action. Well, maybe what people are trying to do with affirmative action is to level the playing field. And let's add this to our conversation. What do you think about this white scholarship? A scholarship for you for at least 25% Caucasian. You know, I think people are pretty much at least 25% everything. Some percentage. Caucasians find out that they have a certain percentage of African-American blood in them. African-Americans find out that they have a certain percentage of Caucasian blood in them. And I guess so they trace through DNA and all these advanced research techniques. They think they're about 16 Eves. You know, I don't know how many Adams there were, but they're about 16 Eves or so, maybe fewer. So we're all sort of related. Think of that. The next time you flip somebody off on the freeway, it could be a relative. Carol and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Enid, how are you?
Good, thank you.
You know, the other night I saw Alice Walker on Democracy Now!, and she really talked about the hate within us that leads to Iraq and all these other wars, and it's just really the individual hate. And this is really very, like, the same exact thing. I mean, the issue with this guy was he went back on stage on Saturday and did not apologize. I don't know if you're aware of
that. No, I didn't. He went back the second night to that same club?
Yes, it's in the paper.
Okay.
And he did not apologize that time. So for me, that's the proof of who he is. I mean, he should have apologized immediately if he at all had a conscience. But I really.
But giving him the benefit of the doubt, if he was too, it was too emotionally, you know, over the top. The next day, if he was appearing, he should have apologized.
Exactly.
All right, let me play devil's advocate. You screwed up on Friday night. Now you start a fresh slate on Saturday. Maybe you don't want to mention what you did wrong on Friday night, and you just let it go and hope everybody has a short memory. Possibility?
It is a possibility, but the comment that was made is that he wanted to get back in the saddle. He was more interested in not being afraid of performing than doing what was right.
Well, mister, welcome to the universe of narcissism. Hello.
And that's, to me, who he must be, because people that are bigots do have that in them. And, you know, I can't relate to it. I will say a sexist comment if I'm really angry, and I will use genitalia terms, but I've never used a racial comment. And I think if you use a racial comment, it's because those are the issues that you have in life.
I, you know what? I don't think you're wrong about that. Carolyn, thank you for calling. 349-1320. She pointed out something really valuable. Janester and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Janester.
Hi, Enid. I haven't called in a while, but let me just make a point. As a black American, because unfortunately there is a difference between African Americans and black Americans.
Tell us, what is the difference?
Well, a black American actually does use the word, but the word is different than what he used. He uses the word with an E-R, and it is definitely defamatory, and it's in the dictionary as defamatory, and they use them quite often, and I believe that he was and is a racist in using it. But the word that we use that has an A at the end is what you were saying earlier, that was, it's used kind of like affectionately, or you might use that word and reference your children or whatever, but it's not about, has nothing to do with race.
All right, now how would you feel, Janester, if somebody who's a Caucasian uses that word, even with the A or the AH at the end?
I would have a problem with it. I've always
I would too if I were you. And Joy called us. She says she's African American.
Yeah, well,
she doesn't want the word used, period.
Right, but see, the problem with people like that, and I don't mean to be offensive, but sometimes people feel that they have to be accepted, and in order to be accepted, you have to have a certain mentality, and that is the difference between African Americans and black Americans. We're here, we're black Americans, we want to have our own place, we still believe that we should have that 40 acres and a mule, and then there's some that says, oh, you know, why don't we just go along with the program, and why don't we just be accepted as people, and blah, 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 and that is where your difference lies.
Janester, I thank you very much for explaining it. 349-1320, 866-620-61320. I'm Enid Goldstein. We have one line open, 349-1320. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we have some traffic Watt bound. Watt Avenue at Edison Avenue. We have a three-car crash. Northbound I-5 at Del Paso Road. There's a two-car crash over there. Madison Avenue at Dewey Drive. Three-car crash in Manzanita Avenue at Madison Avenue. You know what? Don't go on Madison Avenue unless you're picking up a prize here at the radio station. It is backed up all the way to I-80. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know what you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
What's your secret?
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. And can you hear the sound of hysteria? The subliminal mind, America.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7. The lines are completely full. When they open up, we will give out. I'll give out the numbers again. We're talking about Kramer's apology. Is he really a racist? And here's BU, Boston University. It's a group of college Republicans at Boston, naturally, University, offering a scholarship if you're Caucasian. You have to be at least 25% Caucasian. They're saying they're not trying to be racist, but they're trying to make a point about affirmative action. You might want to talk about that as well. Daniel and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Daniel.
Oh, hi, Enid. Hi. You know, your previous caller was complaining about Michael Richards because he didn't apologize on Saturday night. I read an article in the Sacramento Bee today about that, and what I recall from the article is that the owners of that nightclub were not going to let him back on stage Saturday night unless he apologized, and he said that he would apologize. And so they did let him back on stage Saturday night, and then of course the apology occurred, I guess, Monday evening on the Letterman show.
Oh, so he said he would apologize, but then when he got on stage, he didn't.
Well, yeah,
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it wasn't clear that he was going to apologize Saturday night at the nightclub to a completely different crowd, but he told the owners of that club that yes, he would apologize for his behavior on Friday night. So that's why they let him back on stage.
Oh, I see.
Night.
Okay. Oh, thanks for clarifying that. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. 349-1320. Mark in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Enid?
Doing well.
Let me clarify something for maybe some people that don't know. Hey, I'm black. I'm American. What happened to the Irish Americans, the Italian Americans, and all that? Hey, black people need to step up to the plate. Hey, we're not African Americans. We're black Americans. Al Sharpton's, Jesse Jackson's, kissed where the sun doesn't shine. We are black. We are Americans. America, please accept us as being a contributor to this great nation that we live in. We need to understand that. Don't be confused. If you're from Africa, you get Americanized, you become an African-American, period. We were colored. We were Negro. We were several other things before then. Now, accept the fact we are black Americans. We make contributions. We pay taxes. We mess up. We make mistakes. Kramer, hey, if the shoe fit that individual, wear it.
Mark, I thank you very much. 349-1320. Boris in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Boris.
Hi, Enid. I'd just like to say I think Kramer made a mistake. He was obviously angry.
Well, he did make a mistake, but do you think it really revealed who he is?
I would say not. I think he was angry. Maybe his career's kind of in the toilet right now, and I haven't heard the whole thing, what the hecklers might have said to him to get him to say something like that.
Well, but, he was being heckled and he was bombing at the same time. I didn't, you could go probably find it on YouTube. But
right,
so you don't. All right, so you think that he's really not a racist?
I don't think so. I think he was upset, and I'd like to say, you hear the word used a lot in music and all kinds of things, and I agree with Joy, one of your callers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people should use the word. If you use the word, you're perpetuating it. And it's gonna and people are more comfortable to use it if they hear it all the time.
Well, Boris, I thank you very much for the call. And let me just say something. You know, we talked about OJ, and we talked about the fact, and I have some more on OJ and the Rupert Murdoch pulling the book and the TV special.
But they didn't hesitate to use, to really use the lowest bottom denominator to make money. And maybe you could say that about the music business, too. It doesn't care if it perpetuates racism. It's trying to perpetuate its bottom line. And whatever it takes to do it, I guess that's what they'll do it. Tyler in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Tyler.
Hi, Enid. Second time caller. I absolutely love your show.
Thank you.
Wanna change. I like the way you dance and the way you play the game. I like the way you take away the pain. The way you tell me that you want it, not saying a thing. The way you got me going, got
you're
me
listening
going.
To AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com. They're key to the exit strategy, and there aren't nearly enough of them.
Of the 140,000 American troops in Iraq, 5,000 of them are training and advising Iraqi forces.
More births to unmarried mothers and more C-sections. I'm Dan Ravitch.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. If getting American troops out of Iraq depends on training Iraqi forces to fight their own battles, we could be there for a long time to come. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the military has a critical shortage of personnel with the skills to train and advise the Iraqis.
They are what counterinsurgency warfare is all about, training local forces to take over the fighting. And that is the linchpin of the American exit strategy. But in reports recording their experiences in Iraq, advisors like Colonel Nicholas DeMoss said the training he received before leaving the U.S. was a phenomenal waste of time, nearly irrelevant to the current situation in Iraq. Lieutenant Colonel Paul Szczynski said counterinsurgency was our most important mission in Iraq, but there was zero training provided on it.
The Army has a new school at Fort Riley, Kansas, to train trainers, but only 500 have graduated so far, and 550 are in the program now. U.S. commanders in Iraq say they need 5,000. Now this.
Why should buying a used car be any different than buying a new car? Shouldn't you be able to go to a dealer and feel completely confident about your purchase? Well, if it's a Honda certified used car, you can. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. They'll even provide you with a Carfax vehicle history report. See? Confidence restored. Honda certified used cars. They're the next best thing to new.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
It's Sam's Club's Day After Thanksgiving event, where we're bringing in the finest of premium and designer brands. So to drive the point home, we've also brought in a fancy pants British announcer.
At Sam's Club's Day After Thanksgiving event, you'll find everything from cashmere blazers and Burberry fragrance to diamond stud earrings and HDTVs, all at Sam's Club's brilliant low prices.
Yeah, we don't really say brilliant here.
But what about lovely? Lovely low prices?
No, that sounds very British.
But I am British.
And we're not.
Oh, that's rubbish.
Visit Sam's Club Friday, November 24th. Doors open at 5 a.m. Complimentary breakfast included. Join today to avoid the 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
The government today released a ton of figures on births in this country. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive sifted through them and found some significant trends.
At the Federal Center for Health Statistics, Stephanie Ventura says now almost 4 out of 10 babies in the U.S. are born to women who are not married.
That suggests that there's more acceptance.
It's not teenage girls. Their birth rate has fallen quite a lot.
So most of this is being driven by increases among women in their 20s.
The numbers also show a continued rise in C-sections, now 30% born with help of a scalpel. At the International Caesarean Awareness Network, Berna Deal, not happy it's so common.
Uncomplicated vaginal delivery is the least risky scenario for both mother and baby.
Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Also out today, a study from the Alan Guttmacher Institute, which found that about half of the American women who had abortions in 2002 had terminated a pregnancy at least once before. If you suffer from sciatica, back and leg pain caused by a pinched nerve in your spine, you really suffer. But is surgery the answer? CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has the latest research.
Susan Filscoff's herniated disc hurt so bad.
I was sleeping on a couch at night with my legs over the back.
She had an operation, part of a study led by Dartmouth doctor James Weinstein, comparing surgical and non-surgical treatment for sciatica.
The surgical patients improved a little more than the non-operative patients.
And a lot quicker. But this study in the Journal of the American Medical Association concludes if you can suck it up and wait it out, your back pain will decrease on its own. And if someone warns you that only surgery can prevent serious nerve damage,
the risk of it is really, really small.
Stanford Medical Center expert Dr. Eugene Carrigy. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A fourth teenager has died as the result of yesterday's school bus crash in Huntsville, Alabama. The cause still being investigated. The National Transportation Safety Board issued a report today blaming a bus driver's cell phone use for a 2004 crash in Alexandria, Virginia that injured 11 kids. Google stocks that outperform the market, and you'll find, well, Google, just 8 years after the Internet search engine was started in a garage and just 27 months after it went public at $85 a share, the stock topped $500 today.
Investors continue to bet that Google is going to continue to dominate the Internet search space. And also helping the stock out was the fact that it unveiled discounts for online shoppers who use its payment service during the holiday season.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus. Google closed at $509.65.
And now, Enid Live continues on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Tuesday, Lucky Tuesday, Almost Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm getting all confused. It's a pre-holiday edition of Enid Live, and I am off tomorrow. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'll be back with you on Monday. You'll be in great hands with Air America Radio. And so we have until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7, to wrap up anything that we have to say to each other. Today, and if you were just joining us, we've been talking about Kramer. He made his apology on Seinfeld on David Letterman last night. David Letterman enjoyed a huge bump over in terms of ratings over Jay Leno, and the question is Kramer really a racist or not? And when it comes out under anger, I kind of think he is. Boston University offering, and they're doing it, they're saying, to inspire conversation. They're offering a white scholarship. You have to be at least 25% Caucasian in order to accept it. Did we do this to give a scholarship to white kids? Of course not. Did we do it to trigger a discussion on what we believe to be morally wrong practice of basing decisions in our schools and jobs on racial preferences rather than merit? Absolutely, they're saying, college Republicans at Boston University. So we've been talking about that. And now I want to add to the conversation. Many of you know that I collect personals ads. And the ones in England are very different from the ones in the U.S. The ones in England, they are not euphemistic. Somebody once wrote a personals ad and he called himself lame and deafened and all that other stuff. Nobody would say that stuff about themselves. And they everybody's always advertising for candlelight dinner and walks on the beaches in the U.S. And, of course, there's almost no truth in lending to speak of, no full disclosure. And I know this because a while back, I accompanied a photographer, the Guardian, I think, one of the Bay Area papers, used to have all the personals. And they sort of had a contest to pick the 12 best personals, and then a photographer was dispatched to take pictures of the people who had placed the 12 best personals ads. Well, I'm here to tell you that there was almost no correlation between the way people describe themselves and the way they actually look, because I accompanied the photographer, and who I think made a kind of his work appeared in a museum afterward, I think, about this very issue. So it kind of put me off the personals. And so those of you, you brave people who do Match.com and JDate and all those other websites, God bless you all. I don't like to shop by mail. I don't think you can describe magic and slow dancing and chemistry, but what do I know? Well, the English are at it again, and there is one place where they advertise each other that is so highly idiosyncratic that people are talking about it. It's a very Tony publication called the London Review of Books, and they take great pleasure in the eccentricity of their personals ads. So let me share some of the information with you. Perhaps only someone from Britain could genuinely believe that a personal ad beginning, quote, baste me in butter and call me slappy, end quote, might lead to romance with an actual non-incarcerated person. But in the strange alternate universe that is the personals column in the London Review of Books, a fetish for even the naughtiest dairy product is considered a perfectly reasonable basis for a relationship. Rejecting the earnest self-promotion of most personals ads, the correspondents in the London Review column tend instead to present themselves as idiosyncratic, even actively repellent. In so many ways, too, the magazine's Lonely Hearts have described themselves over the years as shallow, flatulent. Can you imagine a 24-hour Mailox person? Can you imagine somebody doing a personals ad in this country calling themselves flatulent and aficionados of, say, Beano? So over the years, people in the London Review of Books personals column have described themselves as shallow, flatulent, obsessive, incontinent, hypertensive, hostile, older than 100, paranoid, pasty, plaid festooned, sinister-looking, advantage-taking, amphetamine-fueled, and as residents of mental institutions. They have denounced that they are suffering from liver disease, from drug addiction, from asthma, from compulsive gambling, from unclassified skin complaints, from reduced sperm counts. They have insulted prospective partners. As one ad starts, "I've divorced better men than you." The subtlety, if that's what it is, of these courtship techniques may well be lost on people used to American model personals ads in which stunning, good sense of humored characters seek soulmates for walks in the rain and cuddles by the fire. But while the ads in the London Review, a twice-monthly literary journal favored by the British intelligentsia, are weird in the extreme, they are also peculiarly English. This is a country where open bragging is considered rude and unironic sentiment makes people cringe with embarrassment. Kate Fox, a cultural anthropologist and author of Watching the English, compared the London Review personals to an ad campaign several years ago that showed people recoiling in revulsion from, I never know how to say it, Marmite or Marmite, the curiously popular Gloppias molasses yeast byproduct that functions as a sandwich spread, a snack, or a base for soup, just add boiling water. An ad campaign focusing exclusively on the disgust people feel for your product strikes a lot of people as perverse, Kate Fox said, but when Britons exaggerate their faults, she said, they are really telegraphing their attributes. Let me give you that again. When Britons exaggerate their faults, they are really telegraphing their attributes. It does speak of a certain arrogance that you have the confidence and the sense of humor to say those things, she said. David Rose, the London Review's ad director, has compiled some of his favorite ads into a book called They Call Me Naughty Lola, Personal Ads from the London Review of Books, which is being published. Here are some of the ads. Oh, my God. Some of them are amazing. Mr. Rose knew that something unusual was going on. He started the column. When the very first ad he received after starting the column in 1998 began, the following. 67-year-old disaffiliated flaneur, picking my toothless way through the urban sprawl, self-destructive, sliding toward pathos, jacked up on Viagra, and on the lookout for a contortionist who plays the trumpet. The column that resulted in at least two children. This column has resulted in at least two children and four marriages. One has already ended in divorce, but some ads are more effective than others. One recent advertiser identified himself as a 61-year-old laryngologist and amateur taxidermist looking for a woman with whom to share, among other things, dancing and cardiopulmonary resuscitation. The ad has not been, as you can very well imagine, this ad has not been a great success. When he writes the next one, he said, I will probably drink less wine. The conventional ads are not notably successful either. After placing an ad calling herself, quote, gentle, curvy, tactile, educated, and funny, one regular advertiser, who calls herself Susan W., heard from one man who bragged that he was free of infection. I did not get the feeling he was trying to be funny, she said. And another who announced that he lived without electricity in the woods, in a house made from trees he had chopped down himself. She changed her tactics and wrote another ad saying, I've got a mouth on me that can peel paint off walls, but I can always apologize. That got a lot of responses from alcoholics, she said in an interview. Many of the ads reflect the writer's diverse intellectual interests. A woman in the current issue, for instance, specifies that she is looking for a man, quote, who doesn't name his genitals after German chancellors. Not even, the ad says, Prince Chlodwig zu Hohenlohe Schillingfurst, however admirable and the independence he gave to secretaries of state may have been. The English are so amazing. In an email exchange also conducted on condition that her name not be used, the woman, who is a 38-year-old local government arts official with an interest in Bismarck, said that she has been inspired by a disastrous experience with a date who announced over the tiramisu that he called his private parts Asquith after the World War I prime minister. I'm fairly easygoing, she said, but I specifically did not want another dessert spoiler, explaining that the only thing she could think of worse than a wartime prime minister was a pre-Weimar German chancellor. For a spell, many ads inexplicably made reference to the writer and Professor John Sutherland. Gerald Kaufman, a labor member of parliament, and Alan Rusbriger, editor of The Guardian, have also been mentioned frequently for no apparent reason. Lots of people talk about their bad divorces. My favorite Ben and Jerry's is acid boiled bones of divorce lawyer, said one ad. Then there are the advertisers who ham up the single loser cliches. Women who live with cats, men who live with their mothers, crazed rejectees who seem to see fatal attraction as a source of handy breakup tips. Tell me I'm pretty, then watch me cling, one woman warns cheerfully. This being Britain, there is also a fair percentage of men seeking women who suggest that actually they may well be seeking other men. One man in the current issue describes himself as camp as custard. Another reads in its entirety, I wrote this ad to prove I'm not gay. Man, 29, not gay, absolutely not. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Have you ever run a personals ad, and what has been the outcome of it? I know people find each other and marry each other left and right, but I love these English ads where they advertise being flatulent and infected and a plaid festooned, with which only the English can do with more panache than anybody else. Here are a couple of personals ads. Virtually complete male. 63, virtually complete male, 63, seeks woman with spares and shed. A sinister-looking man with a face that only a mother would love. Think of an aging Portillo with a beard, and you will have my better-looking twin. Sweetie at heart, though. Nice conversation. Great for dimly lit romantic meals. Better in these Welsh villages where the electricity supply can't be guaranteed. Charitable women to 50 appreciate it. Here's another one. Bald, short, fat, and ugly male, 53, seeks short-sighted woman with tremendous sexual appetite. And then they give the box number. And then finally, this ad. You think I like dressing this way? Lanolin-sensitive, Cumbrian chick, outside all calico, inside pure wool. looking for a man to 40, to the age of 40, who knows when to turn the lights down and the heat up. First aid skills, a bonus. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Ken in Stockton. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Ken.
And they wonder where Monty Python comes from.
I mean, this is so, you cannot make this stuff up.
Well, I had to jump on this because in my career, I have tried to put a personal ad in the paper, and they would not let me tell the truth about myself.
What do you mean? Well, what did you want to say?
Well, in the middle of the ad, I said, paunchy, balding. And they said, you can't say that.
Why?
In an ad.
Why can't you say it?
And I said, well, why not? It's my ad. And they said, no. What do you like to do for recreation?
Well, you know, were they trying to save you from yourself and
yeah.
try to make your ad more user-friendly, give you better responses?
Yes, I think so.
And so did you go for it, or did you insist on paunchy?
No, I went for it. I figured they knew their business, and I'm not a man who tells a person how to do their job. And so, you know, I went for it, and they did a really nice ad about me, but it didn't work, so.
What did you say in your ad?
I can't even remember now.
They all say the same things, these ads. I've looked online, and most of them are misspelled, too, which is not a perky, that's not a perky introduction.
I think one of the things I said was that I enjoy going to symphonies and other kinds of concerts.
Well, I think if you'd done something that was more idiosyncratic, you might have stood out. Well, so did you wind up getting married or finding somebody?
I wound up getting married, but not from the ad.
How'd you do that? How did you find your wife?
I'll tell you. I found a wife, and listeners take note. I went into a bookstore. I was just, you know, it was after breakfast. I went into a bookstore. A very nice lady said, can I help you? And I said, well, yeah, I want to order blah, blah, blah. She said, well, you know, perhaps this gentleman over here can help you and so forth. And I made my order, and she said, well, I'm not doing anything. Are you doing anything right now? I said, no. She said, well, I'm not doing anything. Why don't you sit down, and I'll chat you up a bit.
Just like that? She liked you on first sight without even really talking to you?
It turned out that she had been my nurse a few years before. We found out, you know, after getting into a relationship.
But did she remember that you had been her patient?
No.
But there was just something about you that reminded, with some dim memory, and she just liked you.
Yeah.
See? Isn't that amazing?
And I liked her, and we talked for an hour. We got into an argument about disability rights. I left the bookstore saying how I've really blown it, and she's really a nice lady. And then I found out she was reading poetry on Halloween night, and I came to hear her read.
And that was it.
That was it.
Wow, Ken, I thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's a great story. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And let me add something to the conversation. Here's a guy working out at a gym. He's a bodybuilder. He's a state corrections officer. He's at a place called Planet Fitness Gym. I don't know if we have any of those around here. And they threw him out, tossed him out, suspended his membership because he was weightlifting and he was grunting. And they have a no-grunting policy at this gym. They told him if he continued to grunt, that's it. They came and he kept grunting and they came and that's it. He was hauled off to the fitness pokey, a fitness desert what do you think? Have you had this in your gym? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'll share the details with you. Sherry and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi.
Hi, Sherry.
I recently got married. I met my husband online.
Tell us the details. Where online? Like Match.com or something?
Match.com. I went and looked up, gave an age range, and it showed a whole group of gentlemen. I didn't put my picture on because I was too shy to do that. But I chose a couple to respond to, and one of them wrote back and said, you know, I don't want to respond to anybody that I can't see a picture of. So I took a day and got a photo and sent it to him. And he wrote back and says, well, how old is the picture? Because I didn't realize that people put pictures on that were you know, 2 or 3 or 10 or 20 years old.
Not only that, I'll tell you where else they put them on. A lot of authors who've come into the studio to be interviewed don't resemble their pictures. Those pictures were taken about 500 years ago. That's number one. And number two, don't forget Photoshop. We have Photoshop to thank for Katie and Tom being the same height when she towers over him but a few inches. And they magically excised about 15 or 20 pounds off of Katie Couric with Photoshop. So there is no truth in lending in this universe here. So can I ask you your age?
My age?
Yes.
I'm 56 and he's 65.
And how long ago did you two meet?
We met 5 years ago.
And so then you wound up living in the same, live in the same area?
We were living in the same area, yes, and we just lived about 10 minutes apart, but we never would have met without that.
Wow. And so you started going out, and one thing led to another, and how long before you got married?
We just got married this year, so we went out for almost 4.5 years, and then we got married.
Was there anything, you know, you don't really know, Miss Manners, whom I'm a great aficionado, I'm a great respecter of Miss Manners. I've reviewed one or more of her books. And she says, you know, this was a great thing about your family introducing you to somebody. You knew what their background was. How do you know what you've got here when somebody who presents himself, you know, you read all these stories about these guys who marry women, serial marriers. They don't even bother divorcing the last one. They just clean out the bank account and they move on. How do you know you're not getting one of those?
Well, I made him write to me because I wanted somebody who was intelligent. So I sent him a list of questions, and I said, now you have to give me a little story on each one of these. You have to write something.
Oh, Sherry, you are so trusting. I mean, the Internet is filled with term papers and everything else that people who are supposed to have been the authors of. How do you know even was the writer of your – how do you know that?
Well, I didn't know that, but he wrote back and answered all the questions, and he wrote very well. He had a good command of the English language and could write. So, you know, after some time, and we conversed only online for a while, and then after that, you know, gradually we met. But we met in public in a place that was, you know, I was totally safe. So, you know, it just progressed, you know, over a long period of time.
Well, congratulations. And you're never supposed to congratulate the bride, only the groom. But I think this is a lovely story and a romantic one for a holiday weekend. I thank you very much for sharing it.
It's wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I have a friend who met somebody on Match.com. I mean, she'd been married several times, actually. And he was at Stanford. He'd been an administrator, and she was she's a well-known in cooking land. And this has been a really wonderful relationship. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Lucky Tuesday, pre-Thanksgiving, fabulous Friday almost, edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Okay, Enid, let's see. I'm single. I am Irish, Scottish, Norwegian, English, Castilian, Spanish, African-American, Cherokee. And
yeah, but the question is, are you flatulent and disease-free?
Well,
infection-free.
But I'm blonde, does that help?
Okay.
We have got some traffic going on South End 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road. Unfortunately, another 3-car crash has occurred, and there are emergency vehicles blocking the lane over there and on scene. Now, going on to Elk Grove Boulevard, I-5 and northbound I-5, just south of J Street. We have a vehicle in the roadway, northbound I-5, just north of Q Street. There's a 3-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320. 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Party special.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $100. $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Morgan. Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Your job is to tell 3 to 5 people every single day that Enid Live is here, AM 1320 is here, all the programming we do starting the morning with Scott and Sims in the Morning Retort and going throughout the day is here. So a lot of people still don't know that we're here. We're talking about a lot of things. We started out talking about Kramer issuing his apology and whether he really is a racist or not. It certainly helped Letterman's ratings. Talked about BU, Boston University, group of Republicans offering scholarships if you're Caucasian because they want to make a point about affirmative action. And we're talking about personals ads. I love the personals ads. I still read them once in a while, not as much as I used to. And in England, they're even more eccentric than we are. They're happy to advertise things like drug addiction, liver disease, unclassified skin complaints, reduced. They're happy to trumpet their reduced sperm counts in the personals ads, thinking that this is a way to bring in traffic. You tell me, maybe we have it wrong, because I'm sick to death of these personals ads that talk about moonlit nights and financial, what do they want, financially independent, which often means recently off welfare. It doesn't mean anything. Some people advertise in England that they're older than 100, that they're hypertensive, that they're hostile, paranoid, pasty, shallow, flatulent, obsessive, incontinent, and so on. So lots of people find each other on the Internet, and we just heard a couple of stories. And so if you found each other on the Internet, God bless you. You're braver than I am. Moi, your goddess, does not have the courage to go there. But I'd love to hear your stories if you want to share them. And I want to add this to the conversation. Here's a guy who is, I mentioned it briefly, but he's a bodybuilder. He's a state corrections officer. He was at a Planet Fitness gym. Do we have that here? With 500 pounds of weight on his shoulders one afternoon this month when the club manager walked over to him and told him it was time to leave. The manager explained that he had violated, the corrections officer, whose name is Albert, had violated one of the club's most sacred and strictly enforced rules. He was grunting. I said to her, I'm not grunting, I'm breathing heavy. He's 40, he's an energetic man with the hulking appearance of a pro linebacker. I guess she didn't like that fact that I challenged her because she said to me, meet me up front. I'm canceling your membership. He continued lifting, but soon was surrounded by town police officers who told him to drop the weight slowly and pack his bag, and then escorted him from the gym. Now, Albert is considering suing the club, claiming the notoriety the incident earned him in this cozy little 5,000-person town 75 miles north of Manhattan is tantamount to defamation. He said he has endured ridicule from colleagues who call him and make grunting noises, and he fears that inmates will lose respect for him. Grunting, rude as it may be, has been commonplace in gyms for as long as weights have been lifted. At most health clubs, grunts elicit little more than annoyed looks or sighs of irritation. But at Planet Fitness, a national chain with 120 locations, it is not only a matter of etiquette, but also of club policy. One too many offending noises can get a membership revoked in the time it takes to do a sit-up. Nationwide, the chain expels roughly 2 members a month for various reasons, most commonly grunting and dropping weights. The no-grunt policy is one of several eyebrow-raising rules. No bandanas, no jeans, no banging weights that managers say are intended to make their target clientele of novice exercisers feel comfortable. So if you go to one of these outfits, guess what? No jeans? No jeans. I mean, please. No bandanas, no banging weights, and no grunting. The manager who confronted Albert said without hesitation that people who feel the need to grunt should take their sweat elsewhere. Though she said that Albert was expelled largely because he became hostile when she confronted him, a claim he disputes. He immediately created an intimidating atmosphere not only for me but for the guests around me, she said. He got very offensive and very loud, so I walked away and I called the police department. Planet Fitness bills itself as a judgment-free zone, but in the weeks since Albert was booted, a number of members have accused the gym of judging with extreme prejudice, saying that the club humiliates members whose physiques are not too chiseled, who take their workouts too seriously, and the incident has raised other imponderable questions. How does one distinguish between a grunt and a very deep breath? Must a grunt be characteristic of a hog, as one dictionary defines it? And what if there are no patrons around to take offense? What would happen if Monica Seles and Maria Sharapova, known for their noisy exertion on the tennis court, showed up wanting to work out? At Planet Fitness gyms, grunters and other rule breakers are treated to an ear-rattling siren that flashes blue lights and a public scolding. So if you grunt in the gym, you get they fire up the siren with a flashing blue light. It's like you're getting hauled off to the pokey there. It is so jarring, it can bring the entire floor to a standstill. A lunk is defined on one of the posters at the club as one who grunts, drops weights, or judges. So a guy who is a 6-foot, 200-pound firefighter in Poughkeepsie said that he and his colleagues were frequently harassed for making noises that can't be avoided and compared the alarm to a nuclear war siren. The first time I heard that thing, it scared the heck out of me, he said. I thought there was a fire, and I'm a fireman. Without exaggeration, I've seen them set that thing off on people just for breathing too loud. At most gyms, etiquette battles are over loud cell phone conversations, the failure to wipe down machines after use, or standing too close to the treadmill while waiting for a runner to finish. Telling someone they can't grunt seems a little rigid, says one a manager of a fitness club. I'm assuming most people who have worked out have grunted. I have as well. It's about physical exertion. Why do we grunt when we are lifting weights? Why do we do that? I don't grunt when I'm lifting free weights. Well, maybe I don't lift enough to grunt. But why is that? Just, do you just do it because you do it, or do you do it because there's a physiological, the minute you pick up something heavy, you start grunting? What's the story about that? It does sound sort of weird, but I don't see how you can have a gym business if you ban people from wearing jeans and you ban them from grunting and you set off, you know, this almost sounds like one of these personals ads that is trying to repel the customers, not to bring them in. If anybody has any comments to make about this particular gym, this is what Arnie Schwartzy was trained to do, was to manage gyms. Well, he's managing the state of California, so maybe it's kind of like a big gym. I don't know, but that's what his cobbled together degree is in. It's in gym fitness and managing gyms. So they told him no grunting. They threw him out. He's thinking about suing him. You can't wear a bandana. You can't wear jeans. They set off a siren and a flashing blue light if they hear you grunt. Is this amazing? I never heard anything like this. A professor of physical therapy at one university has conducted studies on the effects of grunting. Can you believe that somebody has conducted studies on it? He found that weightlifters produce between 2 and 5% more force when they grunt, in part because the deep breathing grunting entails can help stabilize the spine. Well, can you deep breathe without grunting is also a question. I'm not so sure it's wise to tell people not to grunt, said the professor. So, your thoughts about this? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Cliff in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Cliff.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I've been a long-time gym goer, maybe for 15 or 20 years now in my life, and I can tell you gym etiquette issues are a big deal, and when I hear somebody talking about grunting in the gym, there's a lot of noises that people make that are unoffensive, but there are some people who really exaggerate the noises that they make, and quite frankly, some people are so over-exaggerating of what they do that it's really, to some people, intimidating, to other people, laughable, and very distracting to other people who are trying to concentrate on their exercise.
Well, it can be annoying, and it also sounds like a bad porn film, too, sometimes when people...
Yeah, but I go to a local gym here in Sacramento, and I do recall an instance where the management did actually ask a gym member to leave as a result of the grunting noises they were making. Other member must have complained, but... You know, you don't have to grunt. You do need to keep your airway open so that you don't increase your intra-abdominal and intracranial pressure when you do this. But the actual grunting noise is not requisite. Again, you don't want people to harm themselves when they're doing the exercise. But I think in this particular gentleman's instance, you know, he's a really big guy. Who knows? Maybe he's a steroid user. A lot of these corrections, well, who knows? But he may be a very intimidating person. And a lot of these people over-exaggerate the noises. And it's quite possible that other gym members may have found him very intimidating or may have had a conversation with him and been, you know, put off by his lack of willingness to, you know, help out.
All right, give me some of the issues. Well, first of all, I have been in gyms. I am a gym rat. Your goddess here is a gym rat.
Well, so was I.
Yeah, and those are good places to be, but you're right. There are a lot of etiquette issues in gyms, and sometimes when people are grunting, sometimes they're posturing. You know, they're grunters for public, for public consumption.
I totally agree.
They're trying to be more macho, and this guy does look pretty imposing, and I suppose this woman manager coming up to him and telling him he's got to come up to the front and he's got to quit grunting probably didn't sit well with him, a corrections officer, and he was going to just keep lifting weights. He was going to show her who was boss, and she called the cops, and then they wound up practically hauling him off to the pokey.
Yes, there was a gentleman at my gym who kept coming after me because he knew that I was a Jew and kept trying to tell me that I needed to accept Jesus Christ, and I had to complain several times to the management that I felt that I was being, you know, ethnocentrically addressed, and, you know, and they finally got the name of the guy because he had done it to several other people, and when the manager talked to him about it, he tried to hit her, and so they threw him out. So, you know,
well, there is a man who has sort of misunderstood the teachings of Jesus Christ, I would say.
Well, exactly, but I'm just saying that you never know. I mean, when you hear these stories, I suspect that this guy was probably somewhat intimidating. He may have been a serial offender, and the gym may have asked him several times.
But the gym, this whole chain has got a siren and a flashing blue light. So if you do something, God forbid, you should be flatulent, and it sounds like a grunt. That's it. They're hauling you right off to the pokey.
Well, or it's a Kmart blue light special. Well,
yeah, no kidding.
Where I go to the gym, too, there's a tiny little Asian lady who comes in there, and she does side bends with a 35-pound weight, and every time she does it, she farts. And I don't say anything to her, and I don't think the gym should throw her out. But, you know, it's equally offensive. So,
well, can't you say something to the club manager who could say something to her?
She's a cute little old lady. You know, let her fart. Yeah,
well, you know, it's a live and let fart situation, Cliff. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Did you think that we would be talking about this today? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather and grunts together from the left, from Lisa West.
Well, I'm not flatulent, but I feel like grunting right now because of the traffic. Blinkers are very important throughout your daily life. I believe that opening your eyes while you're driving is a really important one as well. And I do think that going to the gym, increasing the endorphins, happy people don't kill people, and they don't hit and run either, and that's very important. We have several of them along the roadways. Eastbound 50 just east of South River, Sunrise Boulevard just north of American River Bridge, and eastbound 50 just west of East Bidwell. All hit and runs, Northtown Cap City Freeway to eastbound 50. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The people have spoken. It's radio. In the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Prosper Mac. Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club and I received $100 in free bonus play. Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots and bonus play just keeps the action going. Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA Four Diamond Casino Resort. Just join the Cash Club and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's
it's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cache Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit CacheCreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
All business.
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Talk to Enid now,
4-9-13-20. Skills, I'm a champion of D&D. MC Escher, that's my favorite MC. Keep your 40 out, just have an Earl Grey tea. My rims never spin, to the contrary. You'll find that they're quite stationary. All of my action figures are cherry. Stephen Hawking's in my library. My mom's PayPal totally pimped out.
444 on the Tuesday edition of Stephen Hawking is in my library. 444 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours, until 7 and then not until Monday again. So we got to wrap it all up today. And there's lots to... lots that's been going on. We'll get to other stories as well. But we're talking about grunting in the gym. And I want to share this with you before we go back to grunting in the gym. And, you know, etiquette always has solutions for everything. So our last caller who told us about this lovely elder Asian woman who every time she lifts a 35-pound weight farts, what do you do in a case like that? What would etiquette say to do in a case like that? Did it say to tell the manager to give her, a jar of Beano? Would that be the... I don't know if they have that in Miss Manners, but maybe somebody has a solution. All right, here's a little bit of news, actually. First daughter, Barbara Bush. This is amazing. This is an amazing story because, remember, these kids don't go anywhere without huge Secret Service details. Guess what? She had her purse and cell phone stolen as she had dinner in a restaurant in Buenos Aires, even though she was being guarded by detailed Secret Service agents. This is according to law enforcement, and news was made available to ABC News. It was not the only mishap on a two-week trip to Argentina by Barbara and her twin sister, Jenna. A Secret Service agent on the advanced detail got into a, quote, altercation with someone after a night out and was badly beaten. So they beat up the Secret Service agent, and this according to law enforcement reports. The Secret Service said today the incident was an attempted mugging that occurred while the agent was on his own time, they said, and the agent is doing fine. The purse snatching took place on Barbara's first night in town while she was dining at a picturesque restaurant. According to the reports, the Secret Service agents failed to notice the incident. The Secret Service would not comment on the purse snatching, and the First Lady's office said they would not comment on any personal trip made by the daughters. There have been recent reports, however, that Jenna Bush has been living and working in Panama as an intern for some particular organization. So we don't really know what those two girls are up to. We know they graduated from school, but we don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're running personals ads. Maybe, we hope they're not grunting in the gym. Lewis and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Lewis.
Hi. there was a woman who was in the gym where I used to work out who... It was reminiscent of the scene of When Harry Met Sally, because every time she would lift, she would go through the throes of orgasmic delight, and by the time she finished her set, it was so disrupting that it was like, you know, the guys are all like, do we like this? We don't know whether we like it. It's kind of cool, but no, we can't concentrate. It was very strange, and she was just drop-dead gorgeous.
Well, what did you do? Did you just pretend like it wasn't happening?
I left the room. I couldn't deal.
You know what I think, you guys? I have a solution for you. If this eccentric behavior ever happens again, get your buddies together and form a line, form a semicircle around her. You know, put your hands up to your ears like you don't want to miss a syllable of what she's emitting, and then applaud afterward. Like, what a performance!
Yeah, I think that's what we should
do. You know, you've got to treat it with humor. I mean, I've never... Gym stories, my God. What else happened? Where was this gym?
It was downtown.
It was downtown. Did you ever say anything to the manager?
No, because, I mean, it's different. You know, guys accept a lot of stuff from women that women don't accept from guys, because guys are, you know, we're sick. And, you know,
well, we know that. Sick and twisted and flatulent and with low sperm counts, apparently.
However, a beautiful woman farting, we would have probably reported it.
But as long as she was faking an orgasm.
Yeah.
But, you know, it makes people uncomfortable. It's one thing if you watch it on Harry Met Sally, but...
Yeah, it was interesting. So I wanted to share that with you.
Well, Lewis, my gosh, you've given our Thanksgiving quite a boost. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. We're talking about... we're talking about all kinds of things. We're talking about personal ads, if you've run one, if it's been successful, how did that work out? In England, they run very eccentric personal ads that are really designed to be repellent. They talk about their drug addictions. They talk about that they have liver disease, that they're compulsive gamblers, that they have skin complaints that nobody can classify, that they have reduced sperm counts. And some of them begin their ads with this sentence, "I've divorced better men than you." So if you picked up the business pages today, what you may have seen is that, let's see if I have this right, Google is selling for about $500 or so a share. It's really zoomed up in value, Google, right? Well, I say that because with the San Francisco Dateline, and we've talked about this, we've talked about the lower uppers, in a world of the rich... The rich are now envying the super rich. And it isn't just the rich that were lawyers and doctors and in the miserable $2 to $3 to $4 to $5 million a year category, where you can hardly buy a sandwich for that amount. You hardly have money to take the bus. These are the super rich who get these huge payouts on internet companies, but other people are making more money than they are, and there's a lot of envy. Almost anywhere else, Reid Hoffman would be considered a major success. He was an early executive at PayPal. He was in the money when the company was sold to eBay for $1.5 billion. These days, he runs a new startup of his own while investing in other companies. But when greater fortunes are made, as happened recently to three former PayPal colleagues, when YouTube was sold to Google for $1.65 billion, Mr. Hoffman said he could not avoid a twinge of envy. "It's kind of embarrassing," he said, and he's 39 years old, whose startup, a business-oriented social networking site called LinkedIn, is almost 4 years old. "You start a year or two earlier, and they start after you, then this thing zips right past you and gets the golden results. Envy may be a sin in some books, but it is a powerful driving force in Silicon Valley, where technical achievements are admired, but financial payoffs are the ultimate form of recognition. And now that the YouTube purchase is amplified talk of a second dot-com boom, many high-tech entrepreneurs, successful and not so successful, are examining their lives as measured against the upstarts who have made it bigger, and there's a kind of envy going on. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So no matter how much you have, you always envy somebody who's got more, I guess. Jim and Sac, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jim.
Hello?
Hi, Jim. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
I just want to let you know I'm a first-time caller.
Well, we're delighted. Thank you for joining us.
I'm driving home, and I heard the story about the gym stories.
Yeah.
So I had to contribute one of my own.
Please.
I'm from Fresno, California, and back in the days when I used to make it to the gym, I used to work out with my headphones on. So I'm working out on the sit-ups, the incline sit-ups, and this cute girl comes next to me, and she's sitting there, and she's not paying attention to me, but yeah, I know that she's cute. And I'm doing my sit-ups, so I'm like, okay, I got the incline high, I'm looking macho, so I got my rock and roll blaring, and I'm just grinding them out and just, at least what I think. I'm just, you know, making macho sounds. And then there's a pause in the song, and then I actually hear myself, and I'm going, and, you know, that wasn't a very proud moment for me. Even to say Jim is a real name.
So what did you do? What did you do, scurry away, hightail it out of there?
You know what? I just kind of gradually finished my set and walked away. I didn't bother asking for a phone number. I don't think I left a lasting positive impression.
Well, you know, women are quirky that way. You never can tell about that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, maybe don't ask right then and there, but did you ever see her again at the gym, or did you avoid her when you did see her again?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I had a girlfriend at the time. I think it's the same girlfriend I have now, so I didn't have any intentions of, you know, hooking up with her. I just was trying to make a good impression, you know, being a guy.
Yeah.
And I made a fool of myself.
Well, being a guy, that does happen from time to time. Well, Jim, we thank you very much. I appreciate that. I appreciate your gym story. If you have any good gym stories, we want to hear them. And also, you know, it is apropos, we haven't gotten into the Thanksgiving thing, and we'll do that in the next hour. But there are tips from the Washington Post, from the Los Angeles Times, from everybody, on how to pig out and not pay too high a price for it. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Okay, so Enid, I've met every one of my boyfriends almost in a gym, and I am at this moment not married, so I don't think I want to meet a guy in a gym anymore. I'm done with them. But I like going to a gym.
Yeah, gyms are great.
You know what? I do like a smooth ride on the way home. Southbound 99. I think we might just very well have it. Coming back northbound Cap City Freeway. El Camino, I believe there's a three-car crash once you get to Marconi Avenue as well. And Roseville, Manzanita, and Madison Avenue, a three-car crash there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting a 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on an extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out of it. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Live and local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush will meet next week with Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki. The White House just announced that. It says after attending the NATO summit in Riga, Latvia, Mr. Bush will fly to Amman, Jordan for talks with Maliki. A joint statement says they'll continue their consultation on building security and stability in Iraq. The strategy focuses on preparing Iraq's security forces to stand on their own. But right now, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the U.S. military doesn't have enough experts to do the job.
The Army has opened a school at Fort Riley, Kansas, which is specifically designed to train the trainers. So far, about 550 have graduated from the school, and another 500 or so are currently in attendance. The number of advisors currently in Iraq are 5,000. The commanders in Iraq are trying to increase that number, perhaps to double it to as many as 10,000.
The troops complain that their training focused on combat, not counterinsurgency techniques. One of the president's daughters may have been the victim of a crime in Argentina. Reporter Brian Burns has that.
Argentine media are reporting that Barbara Bush was the victim of a crime in the Argentine capital of Buenos Aires. Unconfirmed local reports say that the first daughter had her purse and cell phone stolen at a downtown restaurant while under the supervision of Secret Service agents. The U.S. Embassy in Buenos Aires and the U.S. Secret Service would not comment on the reports. Barbara and her twin sister Jenna are reportedly in Argentina this week on vacation. Brian Burns for CBS News, Buenos Aires.
Some government statistics out today might come as a surprise. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv reports there's been a jump in births out of wedlock.
Around 4.1 million babies were born in the U.S. last year. Birth certificates show 37% of the mothers were unmarried. That's up from 36% the year before, a continuing trend, women having babies without or before marrying the fathers. The increase mainly among women in their 20s. This federal report shows the birth rate among teenage girls is down.
The number of cesarean section deliveries is sharply higher. Last year, more than 30% of all births were C-sections. In 1970, it was just 5%. Before MASH, the hit TV show, there was MASH, the groundbreaking movie. It put director Robert Altman on the map. Altman has died in Los Angeles. He was 81. He denied being a rebel, but CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes says he was a radical.
Robert Altman really made the movies that he wanted to make. He didn't conform to any sort of Hollywood style. He said he liked to bring his stars together, put this ensemble cast together, and just let actors do what they were supposed to do, create.
On Wall Street today, the Dow picked up 5 points, the NASDAQ gained 2. This is CBS News.
Hey folks, John Madden here to tell you about the Ace One Day Sale happening this Friday only, November 24th, at your neighborhood Ace stores. You'll find great gift ideas like a 7-inch portable DVD player with bonus accessory kit for just $69.99. Or get a 5-gigabyte RCA MP3 player plus 100 free song downloads for just $99.99. Doors open at 7 a.m., so shop early at the Ace One Day Sale going on this Friday. Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
You know, Christmas is coming when you see the holiday decorations go up in stores and hear the annual warnings about toys to avoid. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has that story.
This toy gun might encourage violent behavior, but it also could hurt your child's hearing.
If a toy seems too loud for you, it's probably too loud for your child, so don't buy it.
Allison Cassidy of the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, which is warning of the dangers under the Christmas tree.
Always examine toys carefully before making a purchase.
Even what they're made of.
It's unacceptable that consumers can still find lead-laden children's jewelry on store shelves.
Emergency rooms treated nearly 73,000 kids last year for injuries related to toys. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Walmart is saying Merry Christmas again, dropping the generic Happy Holidays that prompted complaints, but Christian conservatives are urging a boycott of Walmart this weekend because of its outreach to gay rights organizations. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
And now, Enid Live continues on AM 1320, Sacramento's Laugh Channel.
Working in a shop. I was rolling around in a ghost town, waiting on a
5 minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to hour three of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We have been talking about many, many things today. We've been talking about Kramer's apology and whether he's really a racist or not. We've been talking about a scholarship by Republicans from Boston University. You only can be Caucasian to win it. They're trying to make a point about affirmative action. And we have been talking about Personal's ads in England and the London Review of Books, a rather tony intellectual publication. The English, always eccentric in their wonderful way, are putting in Personal's ads, are in placing Personal's ads in which they try to make themselves sound as repellent as possible. And apparently they work, because some people have actually gotten married this way. And we've been talking about people have been thrown out of gyms because they grunt, and some gyms have no grunt policies, and they turn on the blue lights and the sirens and haul you off to the pokey, physical culture pokey if you violate some of these rules. In some gyms you can't wear bandanas, you can't wear jeans. I want to add to the conversation about Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday, and I think in deep in the recesses of my self and maybe everybody else, there are those pictures, those old Norman Rockwell pictures of what a Thanksgiving is supposed to be, a time of great warmth and a time of family coming together, like an idealized picture of America and friendship and family and love and warmth, not tainted by the commercialism that we see every place else. Of course, there is commercialism, and there's more and more of it, and we're going to be talking about it. But this is a piece I wrote, and it appeared in the Chicago Tribune. It appeared in the San Francisco papers, and here it is. As holidays go, Thanksgiving barely ranks. It doesn't have its own bowl game, even though football does seem to dominate the day. No ads tell you how many shopping days are left. The poor thing has been moved several times and still doesn't have its own date. And instead of a proud eagle, such as we have on the 4th of July, or mistletoe, which will at least get you kissed, the symbol for Thanksgiving is usually a pathetic-looking turkey, which is an interesting metaphor because in the wild, turkeys are actually smart. In fact, Ben Franklin wanted to name the turkey the national bird. Maybe it already is. But in civilization, we've bred them to be almost too stupid to stand. In any event, Thanksgiving is definitely not one of our glitzier holidays, which is exactly what I like about it. To me, Thanksgiving will always mean a Norman Rockwell magazine cover, even if the reality never comes close. Unfortunately for a lot of us, Thanksgiving has just become another excuse for gluttony, that turkey isn't saying gobble, gobble for nothing. Thanksgiving's main job isn't so much to give thanks as it is to officially launch the Christmas season, which was actually launched not too long after school started. At a time when few of us even bother to write thank you notes, let alone utter the words, the question is, have we forgotten how to give thanks? In a consumer society that constantly propels us in the direction of more and better, it's easy to put our decimal point in the wrong place when it comes to counting our blessings. The lament these days seems to be, it's not enough. No one seems to make enough, have enough, feel good enough, be quite where they'd hope to be in life. We are, as a matter of fact, often so busy striving to move forward, upward, laterally, or away, as to be too busy to feel grateful. Especially in a tough economy, what we seem to have lost is the attitude of gratitude. So, at a time when practically all you hear is how much less we have than we used to, how it doesn't count unless we make more this year than we did last, it's nice to have a holiday that isn't striving to be upwardly mobile. A holiday that encourages us to feel fine as we are and grateful for what we have. A holiday that isn't embarrassed to be represented by a mascot with a low IQ and a bad name. Now, a holiday like that, where you can put on the turkey instead of the dog, is definitely something to be thankful for. So those are my thoughts about Thanksgiving that I wrote quite a while ago, and I still feel that way. It's in a consumer society. We don't exhibit our gratitude very often. We don't exhibit the attitude of gratitude. Nothing is ever quite enough. That whole idea of enoughness has escaped us because I just shared with you the story about the super rich. Dateline San Francisco. Here's a guy who probably will never have to work again in his whole life. He made a ton of money when PayPal, of which he was an executive, was sold to eBay in 2002 for 1.5
$5 billion. But yet he's watching some of his former PayPal colleagues making zillions more because they were got involved in YouTube, and YouTube has just been sold for a ton of money. So that whole sense of being grateful for what you have. And then I want to talk to you about this. Now, don't remember this for Thanksgiving Day, because I think you'll throw up if you do. But it's a story of big breasts, heavy petting, and weird science. More simply, it is a story of the Thanksgiving turkey, that plump, juicy bird so many will feast on in just a couple of days. And, you know, it's got different names. Willie Bird, I think, is one name. There's a turkey that is called... Heritage, I think, is the brand, and it's a fancy organic turkey, and it's selling for, I don't know, maybe like $10 a pound in some places, $9.95 a pound, something like that. Let's see if I can find the information on that turkey. It's here someplace. Anyway, I think it's like $9.95 a pound. Well, here's the story. Heavy-chested and meaty, today's turkey is a fine-feathered example of genetic engineering, the product of decades of carefully controlled breeding. In the 1950s, consumers began demanding bigger, fuller-breasted birds. They all wanted them to look like Dolly Parton. Scientists responded by selecting only the largest birds for breeding purposes. So, to the mutual delight of hungry consumers and eager scientists, the turkeys blossomed. Actually, ballooned is more accurate. Soon, turkeys more than doubled in size. In fact, the male or tom turkeys grew so large and clumsy they were no longer able to mate naturally. Turkey breeders searched in vain for a solution. They even made canvas saddles with wing holes for the hens. The saddles, however, were, you can just imagine this, like they have a turkey mating manual for turkey marital aids for turkeys everywhere. The saddles, however, were unsuccessful. The guy turkeys were too heavy to get up on the saddles, much less do anything once they got there. Plus, breeders were less than thrilled with the prospect of saddling hundreds of hens. Once again, science saved the day. Poultry scientists recalled experiments by two USDA researchers in the 30s who had discovered that a certain manner of stroking a male bird caused him to ejaculate, a technique called abdominal massage. The semen could thus be collected and injected into a hen. In other words, artificial insemination. A couple of UC Davis professors pioneered the technique in California. They shared their knowledge with the state's turkey breeders and ranches across the nation, also enthusiastically adopted the method. Today, virtually all turkeys are bred by artificial insemination. In fact, this method will produce most of the 300 million turkeys, roughly 18 pounds per person, that Americans will eat this year. Well, this was written a while ago, so they're probably eating more. But turkey breeders, farms that raise genetic stock, and turkey integrators, companies that raise birds solely as food like Foster Farms and ConAgra, use a technique. Tom turkeys are kept on stud ranches and milked once a week. Big semen machines is really all they are, says one hatchery manager. Indeed, one tom's output can artificially inseminate 30 hens, each of which will produce about 90 eggs in the following 6 months. Using artificial insemination, breeders have developed still larger birds. Today's average 1-month-old turkey weighs more than 2 pounds, nearly three times the weight of the same bird 70 years ago. This technique really saved the turkey industry. So here they have... really, what they sort of are turkey jerkers, and they, you know, breed these poor turkeys, and they know novice turkey massagers must learn how to handle the birds correctly. It is important to be gentle with the bird. Well, yes, that's always good advice to follow. If you're really rough and you don't handle him nicely, you get defecation, which, you know, most gyms do not take kindly to if they don't like grunting. Turkeys don't take kindly to being manhandled and are notoriously fierce when improperly aroused. The average breeder, Tom, weighs 40 to 50 pounds and has tremendous power in his feet and wings. With one powerful flap, a turkey can break an inept handler's arm. Female turkeys are lighter and generally calmer, but inseminating hens is tricky too. Inseminators use a syringe or a rubber tube attached to the end of a thick plastic straw to blow the semen into the hens. Back at poultry headquarters, they show you how it's done, and anyway, so they use this syringe, and you got to be careful though when you're breeding these turkeys, because a turkey says inseminators must be extremely careful A reckless inseminator who accidentally mixes semen from different turkeys could undermine generations of careful breeding. And so they're trying to, you know, keep the lines kind of pure. So this is a little bit of the story of your Thanksgiving turkey that you might not want to think about. Three, four, they're all like Dolly Parton. They can't stand up. They've had these implants. These implants, which are now, you know, genetically bred into them, and they've gotten so stupid. Turkeys used to be smart, and was it Benjamin Franklin or some one of the early founders? They all wanted to make turkey the national bird. Well, in some ways, actually, it has become the national bird, but I don't think in the way that the founders intended. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. The attitude of gratitude. We don't write thank you notes anymore. Can we really properly ingest the whole idea of giving thanks, or are we ingesting all these big fat turkeys and too much to eat? And I'm going to give you some tips how not to require the services of Jenny Craig, etc. 5 minutes after Thanksgiving is over. Stan and Loomis, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Stan.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
You know, I was actually calling for something else, but it's interesting you talk about turkeys. My father-in-law was worked on a turkey ranch years ago, and he notices the difference in them. And even back then, the breasts on turkeys were so big that they're clumsy. They can't walk around. They hurt themselves all the time. And it was good for him because they got the surplus. But my
They can't breed. They're too fat. They're too fat to breed now. So they tried those little wing saddles, but that didn't work out too well.
Yeah, no.
little turkey. They tried to destroy the manufacture of little turkey condoms. That wasn't so hot either. Yes.
Now every time I give a belly rub, I'm going to think about it a totally different way.
Yes.
But really, the whole gratitude thing, I mean, a lot of it is our society, but at the same time, you know, we're not satisfied anymore. You know, it's all with the marketing. You know, you talk about...
Well, let me just say something. If the turkeys are bred to be filled, you know, be all breasts, because that's what sells and that's what people want, we are bred to be always buying and never satisfied. You can't be sold. They can't sell you things if you're satisfied with what you have. You have to always be unsatisfied and always be drilled... You know, it drills into you that the next best thing is something you should buy.
Well, in sales and marketing, you don't even have an opportunity to make a sale unless you first create the need. And in all sales situations, the 8 steps to a sale, Zig Ziglar, whoever you read, they all say, find the need. And once you find that need, now, what marketing has done is created a need. I mean, there's products now that, you know, I never thought I would ever need. But because they told me I need them.
Well, give me an example. Give me an example of some of the products that you thought you'd never need.
Well, gosh, I'm not prepared for them, but one right now that I'm thinking about buying are one of those navigation systems. I mean, boy, they sound so neat and they sound so great. I mean, we are inventing things for needs that aren't even there yet.
Well, and the drug companies have invented all kinds of medication, and then they concoct the disease to go with it. I think they have something for if you shop too much.
Well, yeah. Well, first
that will be good. That will be for this Friday. You take a good dose of that before you go on this Friday.
They won't make that medicine because think of all the market share that the other companies will lose because we're not spending money like drunken sailors. And that brings up a whole other topic. Why do they advertise medicine to the end user? I mean, I shouldn't be. When did that happen? Do you know when it became allowed to advertise?
I don't know, medicine? But I have friends who are docs, and they are furious when people come in and tell them what they want to be prescribed. They are absolutely furious. They're between the drug companies, you know, and a 19-year-old clerk telling the docs what they can and cannot do that the insurance will cover, and then the patients, the customers coming in and saying, I want this, I want that. Doctors are fleeing medicine in droves.
And they don't even have the knowledge to even know, you know, what this medicine is good or bad. You know, it's like it's silly. It's like you're selling to somebody who doesn't even know, and it's become silly. The bottom line is though, is this is a market-driven society. And you know, I when I was a kid, you know, you used to hear money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. Money builds colleges and hospitals. It helps people.
It is. It's not the. It's the love of money. I think is the way the quote goes. The love of money and what you
correct.
Mean. The greed. The greed part. Stan, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate your observations.
Thanks for all you do.
Thank you. 349-1320-866-2613-20. We're talking about turkeys. We're talking about the attitude of gratitude. We're talking about Thanksgiving. John in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Yeah, hi. You know, that's what I like about your show. It's kind of got me aroused at the same time, you know, ruined my dinner tonight.
Well, you'll lose some weight.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what you described, I never learned before, and I think I'm going to look at my turkey tomorrow. On Thursday, it's going to be a little different.
Well, I'm good. I have more to share with you on turkeys. We got to know these things.
Okay, well, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Ann in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Enid. I loved your turkey information. I think you should do a whole hour on it. I've never even thought of such a thing.
Well, there it is. This is where you come to find out all kinds of stuff that we need to know.
Well, even when you say you have your flea market of information, I didn't know that there was that this flea was in the market. But whoever wrote back in the saddle again, I guess, didn't have turkeys in mind.
No, they didn't.
But another thing, Enid, I've heard you over the course of years, actually, different places, different stations, refer to artificial insemination as going down the street and using the turkey baster. Well, now I understand that, too.
That's right. Women get to be a certain age, and they're walking down the street with a turkey baster to the Nobel Prize-winning sperm bank, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, Enid, I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for your program, and thankful for your wonderful sense of humor.
Oh, Ann, aren't you sweet? Thank you so much. We're thankful for you, too.
I love you, Ann.
Oh.
Not Enid.
Yes, thank you. Bye. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Fabulous Friday, which is really on Tuesday, pre-holiday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Oh, that's right. We're out tomorrow, aren't we? Well, I can hardly wait for the turkey dinner and going shopping. My daughter's birthday's Thursday, actually, so I'm really hoping that the traffic tonight and tomorrow, please, just so you all know, I've got to go shopping and I've got to get my daughter something really cool. So if you see my Jeep coming, just move on the side. South at 99, just south of Centerville Road, we have a three-car crash. And Watt Avenue at Bembridge, we have a two-car crash. Otherwise, it's looking really good. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hey, Jessica Boxley.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and Almond Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
We've been traveling from state to state, and I don't understand what they say. 3,000 years with no place to be. The mountains are given for milk and honey. Don't you see? Not about the land or the sea, not the country, but the burden of his majesty. Jerusalem, let them forget.
On the Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7 o'clock and then not until Monday again. I'll be taking Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off, but you'll be in great hands with Air America Radio and AM 1320 and all that we offer you, and back on Monday, 3 to 7, as usual. We're talking about Thanksgiving, the attitude of gratitude, a society that no longer bothers to write thank you notes very much, that we have lost, I think, in many ways, the attitude of gratitude, which requires feeling like what you have is enough. And even the super rich are more envious of the even more super rich. Nobody seems to feel like, we don't seem to feel, for being such a rich country, that it's enough, that we are okay where we are. Doesn't mean that it won't change. I think always acceptance is a very good thing. It doesn't mean that it won't be different tomorrow, but you accept whether it's a bad thing that's happening, whether it's a good thing that's happening, whatever is happening, whatever is going on. Acceptance is really a wonderful way to begin to heal. You accept this is how it is. It may not be what you had hoped for. And then things can begin to change. And if you don't accept it, and I think in the acceptance means that it's okay as it is right now. And I think some of that, we don't seem to have those muscles the way we once did. So we're always striving. You know, somebody else has got more than we have and so on. We're talking about the turkey and Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving with a pedigree at $10 a pound. When you sit down for Thanksgiving dinner this year, consider your turkey. Do you know where it was raised? Did you watch your bird when it was roaming free on an internet video hookup? Do you know who its ancestors were? No. Well, you mean you invited a total stranger to your Thanksgiving dinner? If this concerns you, there is an answer. It's a small flock of exclusive birds. It's called heritage turkeys, making an impact on Thanksgiving for serious foodies. These birds are not just free-range, drug-free, and organically grown. These birds have papers. Going all the way back to Christopher Columbus, they are farm-raised, they are naturally inseminated, so I guess they can inseminate without the turkey jerkers, and they have their own reality TV show on the Internet. They are also, and proponents are a little touchy about this, expensive. Prices at the few spots in the Bay Area that carry them range from $5.99 to $7.99 a pound, but Bon Appetit magazine, which gives heritage turkeys the coveted best bird this year, says that they might run up to $10 a pound. And the heritage website, heritagefoodusa.com, says turkeys ordered on their internet website can cost up to $209. What is a turkey? I'm going to make a confession here on the air and in public. Your goddess has never made a turkey in her life. I like turkey, but I don't know how to make one. I know this is a sad story. I don't think it's too hard either, but excuse me, but I have never done it. But what does a typical turkey cost? You know, maybe like, I don't know, whatever the typical size is of a typical turkey. Anyway, these turkeys can cost up to $209. So that's right. We may be entering the era of the $200 Thanksgiving turkey. We do get people who call and balk at the price, said the owner of a store that carries this kind of turkey. I cooked one for my mom last year, and she freaked out, too, but then we got it wholesale. Now it's easy to make fun of the kind of conspicuous consumption, but there is a real reason for the fuss. It begins with the traditional supermarket turkey, which has frankly become a freak with its engineered breast. Today's prototype can't even mate by itself, but what's more, it's likely to have been born and raised in a cage, may rarely have touched the ground, and has been pumped full of growth drugs. To many, these beach balls on sticks produce meat that tastes like parchment on a platter. So, what they, you know, they're talking about the heritage turkeys as tasting better than the supermarket kind, or maybe just different. I don't know if it's better, but different. And so here it is that one store had about 35 of them last year, and they sold out. And this year, I think he ordered more than that. So the heritage turkey could cost you more than $200 for your turkey this year. And this is what we love about the Bay Area. It's a foodie paradise. However, if you are a vegetarian, what are you going to do? Some people have pizza. I know somebody who has a thin crust pizza for Thanksgiving. He's perfected the recipe. I think that's a wonderfully eccentric idea for Thanksgiving, actually. Here's somebody whose sister was a vegetarian. She says, my sister's entry one year was a slab of tofu, which she cut into the shape of the country of Turkey. So that was her Thanksgiving entry. This year, here's what's beginning to happen. The stores are beginning to stay open later and longer. So we have stores that are now going to be open at 9 o'clock Thanksgiving night. A lot of other stores that are going to be opening at about midnight. And here is Walmart, which is now under fire from Christian conservatives. Boycotting Walmart. They're urging their people to boycott Walmart. Walmart is now a target of Christian conservatives, urging shoppers to boycott the huge retailer's post-Thanksgiving sales because of its low-key outreach to some gay rights organizations. One group, the American Family Association, is asking supporters to stay away from Walmart on Friday and Saturday, two of the busiest shopping days of the year. Another group, Operation Save America, plants prayer and preaching rallies outside many Walmart stores on Friday. What do you think? First of all, is it going to work? I don't think so. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I don't think it's going to work at all. But what do you think about these conservative groups that are asking their members, conservative Christians, asking their members to boycott Walmart on two of the heaviest shopping days of the year because Walmart is making a low-key outreach to some gay rights organization. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And what about this business of Thanksgiving where the stores are opening up earlier and earlier for the specials on Friday, Black Friday, everybody calls it, shopping. I think you're nuts to go shopping on that day. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Mark my words, it's creeping. We're having Thanksgiving creep. And so what will happen is Thanksgiving will the stores will be opening earlier and earlier. So now some of them are opening at 9 o'clock Thanksgiving night for the specials. Some are opening at midnight. Some are going to open at 6 o'clock in the morning, I think, some of the big shopping malls. The attitude of gratitude. You're not very grateful, and you have to keep adding to it the next day. Huey and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Huey.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, you know, I didn't even know about this thing with the conservative Christian groups wanting to do a boycott of Walmart, but I got to tell you, in this one, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I hope it succeeds, even though they're doing it for their own benighted reasons, because I think Walmart embodies everything bad about what's going on with the economy. Walmart destroys middle-class jobs. They insist that their retailers or the people who sell to them sell for the lowest price, which puts tremendous pressure on those wholesalers to offshore the jobs. Walmart is China's fifth largest trading partner in the world. They contribute to our balance of trade deficit. They're anti-union. They oppose every major social effort. They've been in the forefront of the reactionary movement. And as I say, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I hope they succeed.
Well, Huey, you've made a good case for it, and I thank you very much. Well, except that the reason that these groups are trying to boycott Walmart has to do with the fact that Walmart's making some sort of an outreach, a low-key outreach to gay organizations. But you have turkeys that could go to $10 a pound on a day when you're supposed to give thanks, and the day after you're supposed to give thanks, and the day of giving thanks. An idea I think we only pay lip service to now, really. It's sort of a lick and a promise kind of things. That next day is one of the biggest shopping days of the year. So if we were content with where we are, if we accepted where we are, if we were grateful for what we had, would we be streaming out the door to get there at 4 o'clock in the morning to line up to get the the PlayStations, the everything that's going to be on sale if you're an early bird, or to start at 9 o'clock the night before, or to start at midnight. Some stores are going to be open at midnight the night before. To line up for a season that has become characterized not for its spirituality, but for its excess. And there's a lot of tips that are out there now, all kinds of advice. They say that, you know, what they say when you're a freshman 15, you're going to gain 15 pounds your freshman year, go away to college. Well, they're saying it's 5 pounds. You gain it over the holidays, and you start with Thanksgiving. But now they're saying that 5 pound statistic is bloated by 4 pounds, that maybe we're not gaining 5 pounds. They're giving you all kinds of tips. Add 5 minutes a day to your exercise routine as you do the run-up to the holidays. Try to keep your calories for Thanksgiving Day restricted to about 1,000 calories for the meal, and they tell you how to do it. So these are just some tips from your goddess to keep Thanksgiving, to keep the essence of Thanksgiving going and not to be felled by it. 349-1320-866-2613-20. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Traffic is a little thicker than it has been on Southbound 99, just south of Sutterville Road. We have a 3-car crash. Major injuries over there in eastbound I-80 just west of 65th that stopped down traffic. Westbound 50 just west of northbound 16th Street as well. And we're going to see some showers on tonight. Just sprinkly. Tomorrow some more fog. Hopefully on Thursday though, Thanksgiving Day, we're going to see highs near about 69. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320
Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Morning Retort. Scott and Sim.
Here's
Sure. Thank you so much.
And Judith Owen, we really appreciate you spending some time with us.
Oh, and can I mention one more thing?
Yeah.
I'm doing a signing of my new little comic novel, Not Enough Indians, at Cody's in Berkeley Sunday at 5 p.m. if anybody wants to come.
Very sweet. Harry and Judith, would you sing us off? Just a little something.
Did you want to do a little Christmas with Adele? I'll do the bass part.
It's a great bass part. Christmas with the devil.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
To Enid now, 349-1320.
5:40 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live, the pre-holiday edition, the sort of like a fabulous Friday edition. We're talking about a lot of different things. But I want to just add this one more comment about Thanksgiving and the turkey that you're going to eat. So now we know that the turkey used to be smart when it's bred in the wild, but now we know it's too dumb to stand up. It's just a little hormone machine. It's all breast with a couple of sticks for legs. It can't mate without help. It needs, massage turkey jerkers in order to get the job done. And And here's the other part that you don't know about turkeys. Most Americans know that the turkey is a native game bird, that Benjamin Franklin thought it would have been a better national symbol than the bald eagle, and for good reason. In the wild, it is a fast runner and notoriously difficult prize for hunters. Even after they were domesticated, turkeys remained spirited, traditionally spending the bulk of their lives outdoors, exploring, climbing trees, socializing, and, of course, breeding. Now consider the bird that will soon be on your plate. It was probably hatched in an incubator on a huge farm, most likely in the Midwest or the South. Its life went downhill from there. A few days after hatching, in the first of many unnatural, if not necessarily painful, indignities, it had its upper beak and toenails snipped off. A turkey is normally a very discriminating eater. Left to its own devices, it will search out the exact food it wants to eat. In order to fatten it up quickly, farmers clip the beak, transforming it into a kind of shovel. With its altered beak, it can no longer pick and choose what it will eat. Instead, it will do nothing but gorge on the highly fortified corn-based mash that it is offered, even though it is far removed from the varied diets of insects, grass, and seeds that turkeys prefer. And the toenails. They're removed so that they won't do harm later on. In the crowded conditions of industrial production, mature turkeys are prone to picking at the feathers of their neighbors and even cannibalizing them. After the beaks are clipped, mass-produced turkeys spend the first 3 weeks of their lives confined with hundreds of other birds in what is known as a brooder, a heated room where they are kept warm, dry, and safe from disease and predators. The next rite of passage comes in the fourth week when turkeys reach puberty and grow feathers. For centuries, it was at this point that a domesticated turkey would move outdoors for the rest of its life. But with the arrival of factory turkey farming in the 60s, all that changed. Factory farm turkeys don't even see the outdoors. Instead, as many as 10,000 turkeys that hatched at the same time are herded from brooders into a giant barn. These barns generally are windowless, but are illuminated by bright lights 24 hours a day, keeping the turkeys awake and eating. These turkeys are destined to spend their lives not on grass, but on wood shavings laid down to absorb the overwhelming amount of waste that the flock produces. Still, the ammonia fumes rising from the floor are enough to burn the eyes, even at those operations where the top level of the shavings are occasionally scraped away during the flock's time in the barn. Not only do these turkeys have no room to move around in the barn, they don't have any way to indulge their instinct to roost, clutching onto something with their claws when they sleep. Instead, the turkeys are forced to rest in an unusual position, analogous to what sleeping sitting up is for humans. Not only are the turkeys in the barn all the same age, they and the roughly 270 million turkeys raised on factory farms each year are all the same variety, the appropriately named broad-breasted white. Every bit of natural instinct and intelligence has been bred out of these turkeys, so much so that they are famously stupid, to the point where farmers joke that they will drown themselves by looking up at the rain. Broad-breasted whites have been developed for a single trait, at the expense of all others, producing disproportionately large amounts of white meat in as little time as possible. Industrial turkeys pay a high price for the desire of producers and consumers for lots of white breast meat. By their eighth week, these turkeys are severely overweight. Their breasts are so large they are unable to walk or even to have sex. All industrial turkeys today are the product of artificial insemination. So this is sort of the sad, the short, sad life of the, I shouldn't say this. I mean, I love eating turkey, but maybe we'll think about something that's more free range and more organic and has a better life the next time. I don't, you have any thoughts about this? 349-1320-866-626-1320. And I want to share this story because I like it a lot. We talked about this yesterday, and we talked about the food panel, the food banks. The food banks around the country have a shortage right now of food. They're struggling to meet the holiday demand. So I'm sure that a lot of people, a lot of you are in a position to donate. Some of you might need the donation, and many of you listening to Enid Live are in a position to donate food to the food bank, and better yet, donate a big check to the food bank. So think about doing that. And I also want to share with you, where we're talking about thankfulness, gratitude, the attitude of gratitude, I want to tell you about a story about a guy who has kept his identity secret for about 26 years. He now is suffering from cancer, and so he has decided to reveal himself. But for 26 years, he has done the following. He is known only as a Secret Santa. He's roamed the streets every December, quietly giving people money. He started with $5 and $10 bills, but in recent years has been handing out $100 bills. So far, he has anonymously given out more than $1.3 million, but now suffering from cancer and with a desire to inspire others to give, Secret Santa has decided to reveal his identity. Turns out he's a 58-year-old businessman from a Kansas City suburb who made his millions in cable TV and long-distance phone service. He said he started handing out the money in December of 1979 while at a drive-in restaurant. He said he had just been fired the second year in a row that he had lost his job the week before Christmas. He said it was cold, and this car hop didn't have on a very big jacket. And I thought to myself, I think I've got it bad, but she's out there in this cold making nickels and dimes. So, in 1979, he gave her $20 and told her to keep the change. And suddenly, he said, I saw her lips begin to tremble, and tears began to flow down her cheeks. She said, sir, you have no idea what this means to me. Mr. Stewart said he'd went to the bank that day and took out $200, then drove around looking for people who could use a lift. Over the years, his giving as Secret Santa grew. He started a website. He allowed the news media to tag along, mostly because he wanted to hear about the people who received the money. Reporters, however, had to agree to guard his identity and not name his company, which he still does not want revealed. This year, he said, he would give out $100,000 in Kansas City and Chicago. Four Secret Santas, whom he said he has trained, will hand out an additional $85,000. Doctor told Mr. Stewart in April that he has cancer of the esophagus and that it has spread to his liver. He said he has been undergoing treatment in a clinical trial in Houston, but the aggressive chemo has stripped away his appetite and energy, and he has lost 100 pounds. This year, he said he wanted to encourage others to donate their time and money. That's what we are here for, he said, to help other people out. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. A column that John Carroll wrote quite a long time ago and that I clipped and saved all these years ago was called The Untied Way. It was a play on the United Way. And I'm not a big giver to the there have been so many scandals over the years with the United Way. All these executives keeping their little Lolitas on the United Way's dime. That I like John Carroll, who writes for the San Francisco Chronicle. I liked his way of being generous at Christmas, and that is to go around and give people money. No bureaucracy, no paperwork, no nothing, just people who look like they could use it. Give them some money, sort of like what the Secret Santa is doing. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I suppose those of you who are in the nonprofit sector and you deal with people who have addictions and who are homeless and who have lots of severe mental situations might not approve of it. But and, you know, it's not without its complications. I remember having tickets, by the way, to, some concert or opera or symphony or some such thing. And I got extra tickets, and it came through work. So they were gratis. And I had a couple, and this was a very sought-after kind of performance. And people stand in line trying to buy tickets at the very end or getting standing room tickets and so on. And I had these two really nice seats to give away. And I looked around, and I was with a friend, and we were looking for the person who looked like they would most, you know, a music lover who might have gotten the inexpensive standing room ticket, but we had really good tickets, and we were just going to give them away. And what we hadn't factored in is the tickets were right next to our seats. So here was somebody who looked like he was a music lover. He looked like he didn't have much money. Kind of that graduate student look, kind of slightly impoverished but loving music. And so we walked up to him and I said, would you like a couple would you like this ticket? I think it was one ticket. And he was so suspicious. I mean, we're not asking for money. We're just giving him this ticket, which, of course, he took. He took it very reluctantly. And throughout the whole concert, you know, the gratitude that burst of gratitude you were hoping for to make you feel like a Secret Santa, forget about it. It never happened. It didn't happen at all. He thought that we had some nefarious, you know, he looked at us like we were some nefarious, you know, like we were all Osama bin Laden or something way before Osama bin Laden was even invented. So it was one of those moments. And here, you hear in the description of this Secret Santa that he is only 58 years old and it sounds like he's dying. It sounds like he's in very difficult straits. It didn't matter that he was generous all these years. It probably didn't buy him 5 minutes more. It might have bought him a deeper sense of satisfaction and meaning. So maybe it did buy him 5 minutes more. Maybe he would have been in debt of 40 or something if he hadn't done this. So it doesn't, it's, you just do the thing. and you may not get the gratitude that you were hoping for, you know, the attitude of gratitude. You just do it because it's the right thing to do and because you're in a position to do that. And sometimes people snarl at you as they take your largesse. Sometimes people look at you cynically that you've given them a very expensive theater seat, and they wonder what that's all about, and so they neglect to, they hardly thank you for it, and then they sort of shoot you dirty looks throughout the performance. But it doesn't matter. You've done something generous. You know, I always close the show with do something generous, because I think it implies that we're connected to each other when generosity happens. And that traffic that goes from somebody who's got something to somebody who could use it, that's a very nice traffic. And I like there's a wonderful quote, which I have somewhere, that the fragrance remains in the hand of the person who gives the rose. So, you know, you give a nice something and it may not be appreciated. It may even be actively spurned. It may be smashed to smithereens, but you know what? You can feel good about having done it. Mark in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Enid. Actually, I was calling in about the gift giving. I work in real estate, which, you know, sometimes can make you feel pretty guilty about the amount of money we make. And some friends and I used to go out for dinner all the time, and we all worked in real estate, and we'd fight over who got to pay the bill. So one night we just came up with the idea that every time we went out, one of us would pay for the bill, and then we would find another group of people in the restaurant who might not look like they could be afford to be buying their dinner, and we would all chip in and buy their dinner too.
Well, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. If they're in that restaurant and you're in that restaurant, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a low-rent restaurant. Presumably they're in there because they can pay the bill.
Well, sometimes yes, but then we kind of extended it to Sunday morning brunch. We'd just go to, like, Denny's or someplace like that.
And what do? You pay the bill and anonymously, and so when they get the check?
Yeah, well, before they got the check, we would just call over whoever was waiting their table and say, okay, we're going to pay their bill. And what actually was kind of frustrating is there are a couple restaurant chains out there that won't allow you to anonymously pay for someone else.
Really? Which ones are those, and why? What's their reason for not allowing that?
The only ones we ever really ran into a problem with were Lions and Caro's, and they just said it's our policy that we have to tell them who's paying.
Oh, that ruins it. Well, then don't go to those restaurants. Go to some different ones. That really ruins it. It's nice to have the anonymity, but I'm going to tell you a bad story. We have to take a break here. I'm going to tell you a bad story of, you know, when you're in the Bay Area, sometimes the person ahead of you once in a while will pay your toll. And one woman did that. She paid the toll for the car behind her, but guess what? The toll taker charged them anyway and pocketed that money that that she gave for the car behind her. Isn't that sad? So, you know, you could have the same thing with your waiters, but don't let that stop you. I'm just being cynical. Don't let that stop you from doing this.
We still do it.
Yes. Oh, that's a wonderful thing, Mark. I'm delighted. Thank you so much for calling. I'm delighted to hear that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, I think it's cleaning up pretty good. Southbound 99 and northbound Cap City Freeway just past Marconi. Otherwise, I love it. Little rain tonight. Tomorrow looking okay, and Thanksgiving Day is going to be amazing. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Don't.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength,
inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. The campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320.
listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's time for a talk. The White House says President Bush and Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki will meet next week in Amman, Jordan, to discuss the situation in Iraq and what can be done about it. CBS News Middle East consultant Fuad Ajami.
They need to talk about security. They need to talk about the future of the American forces in Iraq. President Bush needs to assure Prime Minister Maliki that America is there to stay. Prime Minister Maliki has to answer questions about the readiness of his government to do what we want it to do.
Maliki relies on the U.S. military to train his security forces, but CBS News correspondent David Martin says the Americans are largely unprepared to do the job.
Those coming back as recently as this spring have said that the training that they received simply was not relevant to what they were doing in Iraq, which, of course, is fighting a counterinsurgency warfare. And some of them made the larger point that the Army simply has not caught up with the whole doctrine and tactics of counterinsurgency warfare.
A new school at Fort Riley, Kansas has turned out 500 trainers and has 550 in the pipeline, but U.S. commanders in Iraq say they need 5,000. Birth trends in America have changed dramatically. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive takes a look at the numbers.
At the Federal Center for Health Statistics, Stephanie Ventura says now almost 4 out of 10 babies in the U.S. are born to women who are not married.
That suggests that there's more acceptance of unmarried childbearing now.
It's not teenage girls. Their birth rate has fallen quite a lot.
So most of this is being driven by increases among women in their 20s.
The numbers also show a continued rise in C-sections, now 30% born with help of a scalpel. At the International Caesarean Awareness Network, Verna Deal, not happy it's so common.
Uncomplicated vaginal delivery is the least risky scenario for both mother and baby.
Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
A new study on sciatica, the excruciating back and leg pain caused by a herniated disc, finds the condition improves on its own in time.
Based on the results of this study, here's some advice. If you can't stand the pain of sciatica or you can't afford to lose time from work, surgery might be your best course of action. The effects are quicker than if you use non-operative treatments. But if you can wait it out, this study shows that after 2 years, the pain reduction is about the same with both approaches.
CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato. After Hurricane Katrina, a church in Memphis took pity on a displaced family from New Orleans and gave them a $75,000 house. Now the church feels duped. Dolores and Joshua Thompson never moved into the house. They sold it for $88,000 and moved back to New Orleans. Confronted by a reporter, Joshua Thompson said, "Take it up with God." On Wall Street today, the Dow rose 5 points to 12,321. The Nasdaq gained 2. This is CBS News.
You, line dancing with space aliens. Leprechauns playing hopscotch. Hot guy on the cover of a romance novel braiding your hair. Hot guy on the cover of a romance novel braiding his own hair. Genghis Khan in underwear that reads Saturday, but it's Monday. Dreams. They can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other. Approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you. Or if your insomnia doesn't improve, take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Unicorns, mermaids, gargoyles, dragons.
This weekend is the unofficial kickoff of the holiday shopping season, but you might have a hard time with some of the must-haves on Santa's list. CBS News correspondent Sharon Alfonsi has an example.
Google stock has now...
Well, if you gave Google as a gift 2 years ago, you would be a hero now. That's because that stock rose sharply today.
Google stock has now risen more than fivefold since it went public back in 2004 at $85 a share.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says Google closed above 500. Now to Sharon Alfonsi.
We went looking for Elmo Extreme. Turns out he's extremely hard to find. Target sells him for $40, but was sold out. Walmart for a bit less, but no luck. Toys R Us said they were about $40 and in stock, so CBS producer Jack Reneau went in for the elusive capture.
What he found was a Spanish-speaking Elmo. I'm Bill Witt.
Taking the left lane all the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Five minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. It's sort of the fabulous Friday edition. And I think this hour, it ought to be sort of the flea market hour because we're going to wrap it all up. I will be taking tomorrow and Thursday and Friday off and be back with you on Monday 3 to 7. And your homework assignment, as it always is to tell 3 to 5 people every single day that we are here, that Enid Live is here from 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. And you can join the conversation. It does not cost you a penny to do it. If you've never called us before, please consider doing it. We know that only a tiny fraction of you ever call any talk radio show. And you might be a little bit nervous, but anybody would be nervous. I would be nervous, and you'll get over it very quickly. And we would love to have your thoughts about things, because some of you have really fascinating takes. And it never costs you a penny to call. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. You can email me, Enid, at kctc.com, and we stream live 1320, leftchannel.com. We talked about OJ and the ridiculous special in that book, which could still be sold to another publisher, but there is new information that's coming out about OJ. First of all, it is being alleged by the Denise, you know, by the Brown family and the Goldman families that they were approached by News Corp, which is the umbrella company that owns Fox, and it's Rupert Murdoch's company, and the, you know, the umbrella company of HarperCollins and Judith Regan Books and so on. That they, a spokesman for News Corp, owner of Fox Broadcasting, publisher of HarperCollins, confirmed that the company had conversations with representatives of Nicole Brown Simpson's and Ron Goldman's families over the past week. In other words, both families were alleging that the company tried to buy them off by giving them the money for the book. And the family were offered all profits from the planned Simpson book and TV show. But the company denied that it was hush money. Denise Brown told NBC's Today Show that her family's response was, absolutely not, absolutely not. She said they wanted to offer us millions of dollars for like, oh, I'm sorry money, but they were still going to air the show. Denise Brown said, we just thought, oh, my God, what they're trying to do is to keep us quiet, trying to make this like hush money, trying to go around the civil verdict, giving us this money to keep our mouths shut, and they wouldn't do it. And to their credit, I give them a lot of credit, because you could have rationalized that away. And in fact, let me ask you about that. You could say, look, she's dead. He's never going to go to the pokey for it. OJ's never going to go to the pokey for it. He's going to always try to capitalize on whatever he can capitalize on. Why shouldn't we take the money? It's money. We're never going to see a penny of the civil judgment. He's always going to figure out ways to squirrel away. He's going to hide whatever assets he might have. And his $300,000 a year NFL pension is not attachable, and that, so that can't go to the, satisfy the judgment. You can't make him sell his house when you live in Florida. That can't be used to satisfy the judgment. So you could have seen how, you know, a few million bucks. But then they would have never had any credibility again. Well, the Brown family, the Goldman family, they cashed out when they could do it. So good for them. I mean, to walk away from a few million bucks, you don't have to do anything for it. And that money just comes floating through the transom. These days, people don't do that. The sense of principle, the sense of outrage, I don't know. It evaporates in the face of a few million bucks. What do you think about their choice, 349-1320? Would you have been able to hold out, 866-626-1320? And Rupert Murdoch, this shows you how low the bar has gone. Rupert Murdoch is now being called a moral choice of reason because he killed the OJ Project. And somebody said it's a strange turn of events when Rupert Murdoch turns out to be the moral voice of reason and stops the project. Well, let's review this moral voice of reason. Number one, Murdoch implicitly okays massive corporate synergy to promote and profit from a suspected double murderer. Number two, Murdoch has second thoughts when affiliates, advertisers, and the public scream over this exploitation. And number three, Murdoch cancels this abomination. For this, he's a hero? Does this make you a hero, or is the hero bar kind of on the low side for this? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. If you were just joining us, let me tell you some of the places we have been today. We started out by talking about Kramer going racist in a comedy club and then denying that he was a racist and doing it on the Letterman show. And the Letterman show benefited from his presence and Seinfeld's presence because the ratings, you know, took a spike upward and he beat out Jay Leno, which I don't think happens a whole lot with the Letterman show these days. And so the question became, is Kramer a racist? Is he just trying to salvage his career? He doesn't want to think of himself as a racist. When you spout all that language, when someone's heckling you in a comedy club, and that's the first thing that you spout, I don't know. I would say you're a racist. If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it must be a duck. We also talked about at Boston University, there are a bunch of Republicans who want to award a scholarship that only goes to people who are Caucasian. You have to be at least 25% Caucasian in order to receive the scholarship. They're trying to make a point about affirmative action. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about the English and how quirky, wonderfully quirky they can be. There's a Tony publication called the London Review of Books in which people advertise for each other in the personals column, trying to be as repellent as possible with each other. They advertise all their disabilities, that they're incontinent, that they're flatulent, that they have diseases for which there are no known names, that they are plaid festoon, and only the English can wear plaid like, you know, nobody's business, and how marriages have resulted from this and how they take particular pride in these kinds of personals, and we talked about that. We talked about grunting in the gym. There are some gyms that toss you out if you grunt. We talked about Thanksgiving, how turkeys are bred for Thanksgiving, the attitude of gratitude in a society that barely knows how to write a thank you note. And nobody says you're welcome anymore. This is one of my pet peeves. When you say thank you to somebody, what do they say now? They don't say you're welcome. They say no problem. No problema. No problem. Nobody says you're welcome. No problem. Now, I don't know why I don't like that, but I don't like it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. No problem is, it like tosses off your thank you. It's like your thank you was not even significant enough to say you're welcome, which is part of the transaction. No thank you, or thank you, you're welcome. Now, in Spanish, de nada. Isn't that what you say? Gracias de nada. It was nothing. It was nothing. But it acknowledges the transaction. Thank you. You're welcome. Or it was nothing. Really, it was nothing. But it acknowledges the thank you. No problem is not the same as nothing. It's like, you know, you're dander if I'm going to, you know, I'm going to flake you right off. I'm going to flick you right off. That's what no problem sounds like to me. Like flicking off a piece of dandruff. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You may want to comment about that. And many of you know that I collect obituaries. I like reading them because they're like reading biographies. And Robert Altman, the wonderful director, is dead at the age of 81. I loved his films. I loved Gosford Park. I particularly loved Nashville. I loved MASH. He was somebody who sometimes had huge successes and very often didn't. And he was a maverick. He marched to his own drumbeat, and he wasn't going to let people tell him how to do it. And I really liked that in him, and I didn't realize that he'd had so many reverses in his life, but he just kept going. And there was a San Franciscan, Barbara Shilgasser, who was the film critic for the San Francisco Examiner when the Hearst owned it. I think she did the screenplay for one of Altman's films about ready-to-wear, about the fashion industry. Wasn't it called Prêt-à-porter? Something like that. Well, anyway, which means ready-to-wear in French. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Anyway, he's the maverick. He was an iconoclastic director. He dies at 81. They described him as one of the most adventurous and influential American directors of the late 20th century, a filmmaker whose iconoclastic career spanned more than half a century, but whose stamp was felt most forcefully in one decade, the 1970s. He died in Los Angeles. He was 81. His death at a hospital was confirmed by his friend, the singer Annie Ross. The cause was not announced. He had had a heart transplant in the mid-90s, a fact he publicly revealed for the first time last March while accepting an honorary Oscar at the Academy Awards. He had been nominated for many Oscars through the years, but never won one. The only one he ever got was the honorary Oscar. He was a risk-taker with a tendency toward mischief. He is perhaps best remembered for a run of masterly films, six of them in 5 years, that propelled him to the forefront of American directors and culminated in 1975 with what many regard as his greatest film, Nashville, a complex, character-filled drama told against the backdrop of a presidential primary. They were freewheeling, genre-bending films that captured the jaded disillusionment of the 70s, and the best known of these was MASH. Of course, set in a field hospital during the Korean War and giving rise, spawning the television series MASH. He directed McCabe and Mrs. Miller with Warren Beatty and Julie Christie in 1972. He dramatized A Woman's Psychological Disintegration in Images, starring Susanna York. In 73, he tackled the private eye genre with a somewhat loopy adaptation of Raymond Chandler's The Long Goodbye with the laid-back Elliot Gould, playing Philip Marlowe as a 70s retro hipster. And in 74, he released two films exploring gambling addiction in California Split and riffing on the Dust Bowl gangster saga with Thieves Like Us. Unlike most directors whose flames burned brightest in the 70s and frequently flickered out, he did not come to Hollywood from critical journals and film schools. He had a long career in industrial films and in TV. And in an era that celebrated fresh voices, then fresh, like Francis Coppola, etc., he was sort of like a bohemian uncle, matching the young rebels in their skeptical disdain for the state conventions of mainstream filmmaking. But he was also famous in Hollywood for his battles with everybody, from studio executives to his collaborators. He left more burned bridges than the Luftwaffe, and he also suffered through periods of bad reviews and empty seats. But if there were fallow times, there was many comebacks, including most recently in 2001 with Gosford Park, a multiple Oscar nominee for which he received his 7th Academy Award nomination, including 5 for directing. In his prime, he was celebrated for his groundbreaking use of multi-layer soundtracks. An Altman film might offer a babble of voices competing for attention in crowded, smoky scenes. And you know, some of his best films, like Nashville, And some of those films where he used that technique to fantastic effect, you almost have to see the film several times because there's too much to absorb in one sitting. It was a kind of improvisation the New York Times is writing that offered a fresh perspective to tired, stagey Hollywood genres. He was often referred to as a cult director, and it rankled him. He says, "What's a cult? It just means not enough people to make a minority." There was a breakthrough in his life. The storyline had to do with a group of oversexed, booze-soaked army doctors in a frontline hospital, specifically a mobile army surgical hospital, a MASH unit. 15 directors had all... Now listen to this part. This is the part that's so interesting, the arc of someone's life. 15 directors had already turned down the job of directing MASH, but at 45, he was now 45, he signed on, and the movie MASH became his breakthrough. Let's see. It goes on to give out his Oscar, you know, what he was awarded Oscars for. But the thing I liked most about this obit of Robert Altman is that he had this great success in the 70s, and he just kept going. He marched to his own drummer. He still had great successes. You know, there were times when it was fallow, with times when he wasn't talking to anybody and they weren't talking to him either, or times when he moved to Paris for a while. But he always pressed ahead. And he takes a project that nobody else can see the value of. 15 directors turn down the project, and he takes it and he has a huge hit with it. I think there's something to be said. Sometimes I think that people quit too soon in their lives. It isn't going well, you're not getting anywhere, so then you do the safe thing and you stay with the safe, you do the thing that you really didn't want to do, and that probably isn't going to take you where you need to go. But, you know, that old cliche, darkest before the dawn, sometimes that's really true. Sometimes you have to know when to quit. So you have to know when to hold them and when to fold them. But other times you just need to press through all that no, all the no's that come at you until you finally find the yes in there. And it sounds like in some part he did that. Robert Altman, dead at the age of 81. I loved his films. Even when they weren't successful, they were always interesting and they were always intriguing and they were never usual and they were never, conventional. And that's one of the things I loved about him. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Rodney and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Rodney.
How you doing, Enid? Hey, I was commenting about Kramer. You know, Kramer really is what black people really fear the most. And that's a covert racist. And Kramer just is exactly that because he's supposed to be a professional comedian.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be able to deal with hecklers. And he's supposed to be able to deal with hecklers in order to engage the audience and bring some comedy into the audience. And that audience was hurt. So it just showed exactly what was deep inside of him.
You know, you're making a really good point. You're right. He is a professional entertainer. He's a professional comedian. And heckling just goes with the territory.
Exactly.
And if he couldn't handle a heckler and he had to resort to the lowest, cheapest, the lowest blow to...
That almost what was deep inside of him, just wanting to boil out anyway. And to pick that venue in order to establish it, there's no apology around it. I mean, he's going to have to donate millions of dollars to the NAACP. He's going to have a lot of face savings to accomplish, because professionals know that's why Paul Rodriguez came out, because Paul Rodriguez is a professional and he knows how professional comedians are supposed to act. And Kramer, he just didn't even come. I mean, Richards, he didn't even come close to being a professional.
Well, you know what? You make a really good point, Rodney. I'm glad you did it, and I thank you for calling. Excellent, excellent point. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about Kramer earlier, and Kramer says he's not a racist, but when all that stuff came out of him, when he was heckled by an African-American in Los Angeles at a comedy club, that was the first, he took the cheapest shot that he could take. And I think Rodney makes a good point. You're a comedian. You're a stand-up comedian. You're a professional entertainer. You're an actor. Heckling, you're always going to get heckled by somebody, especially if it's not going so well. You got to figure out how to handle that, and it comes with the territory. And if that's the best you can do when you're heckled in a situation, you know, who knows? Maybe Kramer was on maybe he was on drugs. Who knows what he was on? I don't know. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. But I think Rodney makes a good point. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have some traffic going slow northbound 99 and on to Cap City Freeway. Otherwise, fantastic, fabulous, lucky Tuesday, Friday. I mean, we're all going on vacation day. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
If you're...
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your ass. All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's
a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive, massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things and going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet. That is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the lucky Tuesday, pre-holiday, almost fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. Well, it's sort of our Friday because I'll be off tomorrow and I'll be back with you on Monday. So I'm going to be off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, enjoying Thanksgiving, I hope, trying not to pork out too much on those poor turkeys that have had a short and quite uneventful life, kind of a tragic life, actually, most of these turkeys that we're going to be ingesting. I hate to be the one to bring you this bad news. We're talking about a lot of things. It's sort of a flea market of ideas in this hour, and I want to add to the conversation. First of all, today was the day that Ed Bradley, the memorial service for CBS newsman Ed Bradley, I loved his stories. He had a wonderful ability to tell stories. And I liked listening to him on NPR. He did jazz from Lincoln Center, and he narrated that and loved jazz and so on. But here's where some people feel that CBS owes Ed Bradley an apology. And here it is, essentially. After breaking the news that Ed Bradley died of leukemia, CBS news officials said and did most of the right things. Bradley's former colleagues at CBS toasted him for being everything you admire in a great journalist. And the network devoted an entire night of 60 Minutes to highlighting Bradley's distinguished career as a skilled storyteller. When a tribute to Bradley is held, and is held today in New York, it was held at the Riverside Church. I think Bill Clinton spoke, and Bill Cosby also spoke. It resonated in its news. But CBS still owes Bradley a belated apology stemming from its shameful decision. Listen to this. I'd forgotten about this. Stemming from CBS's shameful decision during the 2004 presidential campaign to pointedly refuse to run a factually solid story of Bradley's that chronicled how the Bush administration had misled the country into war. Specifically, the Bradley story detailed the murky circumstances surrounding bogus Nigerian documents that were unearthed in 2002, the alleged smoking gun that purported to prove that Saddam Hussein had purchased 500 tons of so-called yellow cake uranium to build a nuclear bomb. Now, these are the Nigerian forgeries that were the reason that caused Joseph Wilson to be sent to Africa, and he reported back that these were forgeries. There was nothing to it. That there was no, that Iraq was not trying to buy yellow cake. And he reported that back to the administration. They, of course, ignored him because they were looking for ways to sell this war. And then he went to the New York Times and did an op-ed piece, Ambassador Joseph Wilson. And his wife, of course, is Valerie Plame. And that's when the administration tried to discredit her, leaked her identity as a CIA operative. It turns out she was an undercover, the most kind of undercover operative you can be in the CIA. It effectively scuttled her career. And there is now a civil suit pending, and this is why Scooter Libby is in the soup, and this is why there was that special prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald launched an investigation that almost took with it Karl Rove. I would have loved to have seen that happen, but it didn't happen. In any event, CBS refused to run the story. The documents turned out to be obvious fakes, but that didn't stop the Bush administration from eagerly using them in an effort to scare Americans with doomsday talk. Bradley's in-depth investigation, had it aired, would have been the first by a major network news outlet to devote serious time and energy to investigating the baffling case of the forged Niger documents, which were used as a pivotal propaganda tool. I'm sorry, I said Nigerian, but it was Nigerian. I think is the way you're supposed to say that. In any event, but spooked by the controversy still raging over CBS botched 60 Minutes 2 report on Bush and the National Guard, the one featuring the now infamous unauthenticated memos allegedly written by Bush's commander, CBS News president completely abdicated the network's news responsibility and announced that Bradley's hard-hitting and previously scheduled story would not be broadcast in 2004. We now believe it would be inappropriate to air that report so close to the presidential election. So on this one, CBS abdicated, and Ed Bradley was right. And an example of how journalists were cowed by this administration and turned into stenographers and cheerleaders for the administration. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Nancy Grace, I have a hard time watching her on CNN. She is being sued by the estate of Melinda Duckett for wrongful death. Nancy Grace and CNN were sued today by the estate and family of member Melinda Duckett committed suicide, the mother of the missing toddler Trenton Duckett, who committed suicide after being aggressively questioned by Nancy Grace on her headline news show. The family's complaint alleges that intentional infliction of emotional distress and misrepresentation, alleging that Grace enticed Duckett on the show as a means of helping to find the boy and drawing attention to the case, and then harassing and intimidating an anguished and severely mentally distressed mother under completely false pretenses. The complaint also alleges that Nancy Grace and her co-workers misrepresented their purpose to Duckett's attorney. The complaint alleges intentional infliction of emotional distress on Duckett's family in the airing of the tape after Duckett's death without the consent of family or estate in order to improve their ratings and for the prospective monetary gain of defendant Nancy Grace and defendant CNN in malicious and contumacious disregard to inflicting in severe emotional distress and damage on the plaintiffs. So the Duckett family is suing Nancy Grace for wrongful death. What do you think about that? 349-1320. Well, Nancy Grace will love it. It's more publicity for her show. And that was why she was so aggressive with the mother. That's really her whole point. Really, I don't, you know, she's hard to watch. I just think she's mean. She's the queen of mean. Tony and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Tony.
Hi, I wanted to comment a little more about Iraq, because I don't care how much people are celebrating the holidays. Iraq will not go away. It is a disgrace of the United States. It is beyond comprehension what has happened. And there are only two people that I see in Congress that seem to have any guts right now. One is Representative Rangel. He's absolutely right. If a war is worth fighting, then we all ought to be. You know, I served. I'm of an age. Everyone ought to have to serve. And even during the Civil War, if people didn't serve, if they got out of the draft, they had to pay a lot of money in special tax. And we actually lowered the taxes of the wealthy. And then Barbara Boxer, she had the guts today to say, you know, where is everybody? Talking about her colleagues. Why are we not holding the president's feet to the fire on Iraq? What's happening?
Well, you bring up a good point. And a lot of people, you know, we talked about it yesterday. We talked about the draft and Charlie. What I love about it, I like Charlie Rangel a lot. He's puckish, for one thing, and he's mischievous. And he's making a really good point. And the point he's trying to make is about shared sacrifice, of which we don't see very much. But I have heard people who are in the military say that they don't want to serve with people who don't want to be there. That it would be, first of all, it's not going to be doable. And everybody's running away from his proposal. The Republicans definitely don't want a draft. And neither, apparently, do the Democrats want a draft. Everybody's scattering when Rangel walks in to propose it. But I love what he's trying to do, which is to try to engage people in the business of politics. And he's saying, and I think he would be right, that if there were a draft, I don't think people would be so cavalier about ordering other people's children into battle.
Right.
So that's really, and the shared sacrifice aspect of it. But it turns out that a lot of the military is anti-draft. They don't want it either. They want people who really want to be there.
Right.
So what do you say to that objection?
Well, I say we're a democracy, and throughout history, professional militaries have been a danger to democracies. And so I think if a war is worth fighting, then it's worth the general populace fighting. We wouldn't get into so many wars, probably, if we had a draft.
I'm glad he suggested it. I have to tell you, and I'm glad it's on the table as a conversation. And Tony, I thank you for reminding us that on this Thanksgiving, when we'd rather not think about it, we should be thinking about it. 349-1320-866-2613-20. Here's the New York Times, and the headline of today's editorial in the Times, Rejecting the Draft. There are many reasons why we are distressed to hear that Representative Charlie Rangel of New York plans to reintroduce his annual measure aimed at resurrecting the draft when the Democrats take control of the House in January. We don't favor military conscription in general, and in this particular case, compelling military service won't achieve the things that Rangel says he wants either. This is what the Times is saying. Rangel wants to replenish an army that is in critical condition, make the armed services more equitably representative of American society as a whole, and find a way to prevent future presidents from embarking on military misadventures. Those are laudable goals, but not ones a nation can achieve by bringing back the draft. Even if the draft were a good idea, it would be politically impossible to achieve. Members of Congress are well aware that their constituents oppose it. The White House has never been willing to ask Americans to do anything but accept more tax cuts. It's hardly going to embrace something as difficult and unpopular as military conscription. But the idea is flawed as well, writes the Times, because of the dire situation in Iraq. The Army is indeed having trouble meeting its yearly quota, and so on. So the draft, though, they're saying, would not demonstrate to young people that everyone must do his or her fair share. It is more likely to convince them that the demand for sacrifice is made mainly on those too poor to avoid it. The volunteer force in Iraq has been a truer cross-section of America than the force created under the last draft, which ended in 1973 before the end of the Vietnam War. The wealthy and the well-connected could get deferments then or assignments to safe alternatives, and many did. While there are plenty of underprivileged in the current force, at least they are there by their own choosing. The problem with the draft, they go on to say, does not lie in the fact that it requires young people to spend some time contributing to the nation's well-being before they embark on their life's career. We wish the president had called for such sacrifice after 9/11, when so many Americans were aching to contribute. That is really true. So many we all wanted to do something. I was ready to run away and join the military myself. I don't think they would have me. I was going to join the CIA. They definitely wouldn't have me. Dan in Colfax. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Enid. This is Dan, and I was drafted. I went to Vietnam. I was in combat. And I remember a few years ago, Donald Rumsfeld said that, oh, the volunteer army is so much superior to the earlier armies where we had conscription. Let me ask you this. How many people in their right mind would spend more than a couple years in combat? I have little to no respect for people who spend their whole lifetimes in the military. Number one, you'd have to be crazy to want to do more than a couple tours in combat. And most of those guys do not, because they move up the ladder and they get out of it. So, I mean, I think it's nuts, number one, that somebody would think that the volunteer army is so much superior. And besides that, do you think that this is volunteer? They get spend $3 billion to get these people to sign up. It's the poverty draft. Then they get stop loss. They get exposed to depleted uranium. I mean, this is nothing volunteer about this thing. These people don't have any options.
They're sort of incarcerated once they get in, actually. You're right about that. So are you saying we should reinstitute the draft? Are you arguing in favor of reinstituting the draft?
I am not in favor of reinstituting draft, because it will just feed 20,000 people into the war machine and kill more people.
Oh, but wait a minute. Let me respond to that. If there is a draft, you are going to have people protesting in the streets. You're going to have their families upset about it, because their families do not want their kids exposed to this. And I think you're going to have public pressure to get out of a war.
Well, I think you're right, except for one thing. How many more people are going to die? How many more people?
Well, you've got this administration, and they're trying to make one last gasp, one last push. And by the way, Congress couldn't wait to duck out the door. They are gone. They couldn't wait to run away. There are all these spending bills. This is a do-nothing Congress that can't wait to do even less.
The only way we're going to end this war is impeach Bush.
Well, you know what? I think we need to have investigations. I don't know about it. It feels good to say impeach Bush, but I think there
might. Justice. We demand justice.
Justice we want. Absolutely. Dan, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Tuesday pre-holiday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
I'll tell you what, Enid, everybody rushed out for the holidays already because the traffic is looking good. So very impressed. Yay, I'm proud of all of you.
No turkeys on the freeway.
Yes, no turkeys on the freeway. Non-hit and runners. I like that. Is that a word? Anyway, Tonight we have lows right around 42. We're going to see highs tomorrow coming up right around 63, 64 with some precipitation. Meanwhile, Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk. Okay, here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 643 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live, the pre-holiday Fabulous Friday edition, where we're sort of a flea market of ideas in this hour. I just want to share this with you. Imams is what I always say. Six Muslim imams, religious people, religious scholars, were removed from a U.S. Airways flight in Minneapolis and questioned for several hours before being released. They were returning from a conference in Minneapolis of the North American Imams Federation, and five of them were from the Phoenix-Tempe area. One was from Bakersfield, California. Three of them stood and said their normal evening prayers together on the plane, as 1.7 billion Muslims around the world do every day. He attributed any concerns by passengers or crew to ignorance about Islam. I never felt bad in my life like that. And they were just hauled off the plane. Now, there's a different version of the story that the Minneapolis Star-Trib is presenting. Passengers apparently raised concerns about them, three of whom said their normal evening prayers in the airport terminal before boarding the plane. In one version of the story, in the AP version of the story, they were saying their prayers on the plane. Now, I don't know what that consists of, whether it's a loud, you know, speaking. Remember, now, you get thrown out of a gym if you grunt. So here you are in an airplane, and you are saying your prayers. There are two versions of the story. One was that they did it in the airport terminal before they boarded the flight, and one is that they were doing this on the airplane. They said their normal evening prayers together on the plane, apparently a note was passed to the pilot, and they escorted them off the plane. Now, there are more details. When they returned the next day to buy tickets to get them out of town, apparently U.S. Airways would not sell them the tickets and said, you've already got some sort of a refund and wouldn't sell them the tickets. The supervisor wouldn't sell them the tickets. And, of course, it's being investigated. Witnesses to the events told police that before the flight, that besides praying, the imams were spouting anti-American rhetoric, talking about the war in Iraq and Saddam Hussein. I somehow don't believe that part of it. One of the imams was heard to be say that he would do whatever is necessary to fulfill his commitment to the Quran, and said Allah, Allah over again. So what? And a couple of the imams asked for seatbelt extensions, even though it did not appear they needed them. So then that made everybody nervous. One of the imams said he needed seatbelt extensions because he said a couple of us have big fat bellies. So what are your thoughts about this? Six Muslim scholars flying. Now, if they did stand up and say their prayers on an airplane, what about that part? Let's say that that actually happened, because there are two versions of the story. One is the AP version that has them saying their prayers on the airplane, and one is the Minneapolis Star Tribune, that says that they said their prayers in the terminal before boarding. I don't know how noisy these prayers are. I don't know how disruptive they might be. Are you standing up when you're saying these prayers, or aren't you? I always see people who are Muslim, you can tell me, aren't you kneeling on a prayer rug when you're saying your prayers? So how do you do that on an airplane? There's no room. So maybe it was done in the boarding terminal before. And are there extenuating circumstances in Islam so that if you are in a place where you can't kneel and say your prayers, if that's the correct way of doing it, that you just recite them in your head? See, the great system in America is you can pray wherever you are, but to make a nuisance of yourself and to disrupt everybody else, is that, even though if your religion says that that's what you must do, and yet our way of doing things is regards that as in a different light, then who, a clash of cultures, then who prevails, and what is the right thing to do? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So if you're seeing a group of people praying, well, even if you're, praying in English and you're not Muslim, you're just, I think everybody got very upset if they were dressed in a particularly different way. I don't know how they were dressed. So everybody's terror fantasies kicked in. I'll tell you, I was on a flight from Germany to back to the States, and it made a stop in, it was going to stop first in Detroit and then go on to, I think, Denver is where I was flying to. And Detroit has a huge population of people from the Middle East. Now I forget which, Lebanon, I think, and other countries, has a huge population of people from the Middle East. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And I want to tell you, 10 or 12 people came on in the full burqa, with only slits for their eyes, and it was very scary in a time of terrorism. Now, if you're really a terrorist, I don't think that's what you're going to wear, but it was kind of scary because I'm not used to seeing that. And there is a movement afoot in the Netherlands and in England not to allow people to wear the full burqa, the full deal with only slits for the eye. You can wear like a partial something, something on your head covering, but not the full, not the full. Burqa. 349-1320. Ron in Yuba. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, I kind of have, first of all, I think, like you said before, I think everybody's making way too big of a deal out of a lot of different things. But I honestly think our country is still on a heightened awareness about a lot of things. And just like you said earlier, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, and, you know, it goes back to, I guess, the old adage where pit bulls, in essence, when they don't bite very much, as far as a breed of dog, they don't bite very much. When they do, it's a severe bite, and that's why I think it's paid attention to a little more than any other dog.
Okay, so but I'm not getting the point.
Well, basically, if they were saying prayers and yelling different verbiage out about what they're going to do to...
I doubt that part of it. I think I can't imagine that part happened. These are six Muslim scholars. So I'm doubting that part of the story, but I think people got scared for some reason, and then they hauled all six of them off the plane.
And I honestly think people kind of had... I can understand how people... the fear.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that's exactly what happened, Ron. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Yasser. Hi, Yasser. You're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hi. I'm a Muslim, and I understand a lot of people's fears with, obviously, these, like, different things. I mean, we fear what we don't understand. And I think there is, like, in the community as a whole, like the American community, like, and the world community, there is some sort of, like, not understanding of what the situation is and what these people do, so there leads to some fear. And I think that's just natural. And I think it's also partly to blame on the Muslim community we've worked hard to try to...
All right, let me just ask you, we don't have much time, yes, sir. Let me just ask you this question. What would praying on a plane consist of? Do you have to kneel? Is there any place to kneel?
I mean, I'm not a learned scholar, but from what I've done when I go on a plane is that you usually, there's something called traveling prayers, which means that you're able to skip your prayers and combine them at a later date.
So you
do it previously.
All right, let's say they didn't. Let's say they didn't do it, but they did it in the terminal. Because I don't. Do you have to kneel?
I would say that would make more sense to me that they did it on a terminal than.
All right. What would it consist of? Do you kneel? What are you doing?
You stand. It would probably, like, I don't know what time of the day it was, but if it was during the day, it's usually like silent, and you stand up. You're holding your hands together. You bend over. And you kneel on the floor.
But it's silent, so that you're not hearing any sound.
During the day, there's two later prayers, the evening, like when it turns night, and the late night prayers, those that you usually say out loud, and the very early...
How long does the prayer take, do you think? 5 minutes?
From 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay, yes, sir, we have to take a break. Thank you so much for enlightening us. I appreciate it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Northbound 99, just at eastbound 50, we have a vehicle in the roadway, just slowing things down a little bit. East 80, it looks like on the onward, there's a vehicle on fire. And Alberta Road at Rio Linda in North Sac, we have a vehicle on the right-hand side. Our collisions and accidents are the ones we had earlier, and they're getting cleaned up. So, really, the traffic is looking pretty good on all of our Friday, really, at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
We're slinging mud. We're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty. even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and Almond Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
What's up, Scott? Just had it. Hey, now ladies and gentlemen, it's about that time now. About that time. Turn this thing on now. Now let me see everybody do this. Hey, let's go.
On the Tuesday, pre-holiday edition of Enid Live, we're talking about these Muslim scholars who were pulled off a flight because in one version they were praying on the plane and in another version they were praying in the terminal prior to the flight, and it, I think everybody got frightened. Let's go to the phones. Hayat in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Hayat.
Hi.
Tell me what's on your mind. What do you think about, what do the prayers consist of here, do you think?
You know, I'm a Muslim, and what I know is if you cannot stand up, you can sit and pray, or you can lay down and pray. In the mosque, when we go, some people, they cannot stand down and up, down up. So they sit in the chair, and they sit and chair and pray there.
If you're in the airplane, can you just sit in your seat and pray? Are you praying out loud, or can you pray silently?
Yeah, you can pray. Most of the prayers, you pray silently. You don't have to, you know, sometimes when they, before they pray, sometimes they do loud, but it's not very loud. It's like talking people.
So people who are maybe older, who are not able to kneel, you can do it, you can sit in a chair.
Yeah, you could. Some people say, cause
so why do you think, they hauled them off the plane?
Maybe like, you know, right now, people that, like the other guy say, people, they don't understand what we're doing, what we're doing.